I do believe it's recording now.
For the third time.
So, hey guys.
Hey, I'm the boss today.
I'm just saying that you're the boss?
Oh, no, shit. Saying that I'm the boss.
Okay.
Guys, our bars are about to collide.
It's okay, it'll just overlap it or something, see?
Oh.
So just... Yeah.
It's all good.
Technology.
So, I'm the boss, guys, and today is the Dylan episode, and we'll be talking about Dylan. And all
Dylan, you're a great guy.
Wonderful gloriousness. So
prepare for rampant racism.
And... no. So, today is the podcast episode.
And make sure your true heritage doesn't show. Or the Kaya.
That's right.
White power.
Yeah, white... Yeah.
It's white power on the podcast.
Today's the music episode, not the Dylan episode. That's coming next week. And we're going to talk about music. And
Dylan's going to talk about music.
And we're going to do it... apparently I'm the boss. We're going to do it a bit differently to what we normally do, I guess.
Like we have structure?
Sort of, yeah.
Some of us have structure.
And so what we were meant to do was we were all meant to do our homework, which was work out all the music we like and make it very nice and organized, and so we can talk about it in a very comforting way. But none of us finished our homework, so...
But there's so much music.
But it took so long. So we're all about, like, half done, and so the first half of all of our segments will be really nice and very pretty, and then the second half will be, like, we'll just completely winging it.
Mine's just gonna be kind of like, album, I love this specifically, and then, oh yeah, there was this song I listened
yeah,
to, and then
exactly.
There was this other song.
It's gonna be like that, but... Deal with it. I personally will be finishing my homework probably tonight. So on the blog post...
A bit late for the podcast.
No, but like the idea is I have a list of all the bands I want to talk about, right?
Mm.
I just don't have all the specific stuff that I was going to do that I had organized. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that in the blog post as like a little spoiler box so that it doesn't cover up like 17 pages.
Yeah.
So that... Then people can click on the spoiler box, and then that'll be, like, my section of music. So people can follow along what I'm saying by going through and being like, oh, he's talking about 65 Days of Static. Here's the 65 Days of Static section, and then there'll be links to all the songs that I might mention and stuff like that. So if they hear something, they're like, oh, he's talking about something that sounds interesting to me, then they can go and check it out in the blog post and click on all the links, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to finish my homework so that there's still links for the stuff that I talk about in the second half, even though I'm going to be a bit more, like, loosey-goosey about it. So if you hear anything that you're like, that sounds interesting, then click on the links. And if you're not, like, if you're listening to it on, like, an iPod or something, then write it down or something and then do it later. So let's go. We're going to start with Vincent.
Let's do an introduction. So music was invented in the late 8th century.
The late beginning of humanity.
Yeah.
Og was in the cave and he was just beating some sticks against the wall.
That's right.
Hey, that's
and Og was like, got another couple of rocks, started banging the rocks.
Oh yeah, percussion this bitch.
But then they invented fire, and that sort of distracts away from music.
Oh, but then they realized, wow, this is some really cool music, and a whole new era.
Oh yeah, then they
fire.
Created ambient music. And it was just fire crackling and rain dropping.
And then they just sit in a cave and listen to the environment and nature.
Hey, soundscape is a pretty cool genre. Right?
It is. It's the first genre.
That's right. we're going to go with Vincent first because why not?
Short. And sweet.
Brevity, yes.
It'll be
brevity
epic.
And sugarness. And then with each segment, we'll have like a break, and then we'll put in like that person's song of choice in between the segments so that you can listen to like their favorite song or whatever. So, go Vincent.
All right, okay.
Wait, no, what? I need to pause this. Do I just press this button?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right, well...
Makai's dying as well.
Yeah, everyone's sort of half-dead right now.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with me.
Real music.
My not real music, under anyone's definition. Basically, ever since I was, like, born, I've really loved electronic music. I think it stems from, like... Since I was 3 years old, I've been in front of a computer just playing video games, so... It probably stems from that, just, like, 1990s... 8-bit, 16-bit, whatever, MIDI soundtracks.
Delish.
So, I never was in with music for my entire lifetime. I didn't get pop, I didn't get rock. it was all just noise and not cool. I believe in the future, and I'll listen to the future.
That sounded so far-fetched.
Well, I gotta get used to propaganda, because that's my future right there. The majority of my music for most of my life has come from Newgrounds, because I'm a cool dude like that. It's all free and good.
And so, public domain, so we can use it.
Yeah, so we can use it.
5 minutes towards this song.
It's mostly the trance area of that, like, really, or speed trance even, just really fast, really, just rocking out techno. Notable artists that I listen to would be Dim Rain 47 and Nighthawk 22, because as if you could get a proper name without numbers on Newgrounds. Transcrafter and Corn and Beans.
Corn and Beans.
They just all have the same style, just really orchestral, fast, technical trance. And I just love it. Another reason I'm just really into, like, fast stuff is for a good 3 or 4 years, I just non-stop played Guitar Hero, and basically that just appealed to my sense of music and, like, competitiveness. Like, I only want to listen to a song if it sounds hard to play on Guitar Hero. If it sounds difficult, then I like it. So, yeah, that's sort of... That's also a reason I got into sort of, like, power metal and symphonic metal. Such as, like, Xandria, Nightwish, and... God, what's another one? Epica. And Epica.
Epica.
It's good.
Is that E-R or A? Because Epica is cool.
Epica.
It's lame.
yeah, I don't have much to say. Also, recently I've gotten into old-style happy hardcore. Old as in, like, late 90s to about 2006, before happy hardcore became...
Oh, that's old.
Ridiculous, like... aggressive.
Yeah, for electronic
style.
Music, that's way old.
I'm so old.
It changed. Like, happy hardcore used to be happy. Now it's just really angry and aggressive.
With, like, high-pitched ladies in the background.
Yeah.
Screamo?
It's sort of like... It's sort of like techno screamo.
Someone says hardcore, I'm like...
He's talking about techno, not metal.
Okay.
Yeah, it's completely different. Like, happy hardcore, the one I listen to, is now called Cheesecore.
Cheesecore?
Yeah.
That sounds the worst ever.
Because it's just really cheesy, like, vocals and...
No.
Little synths, and it's fun.
Oh, no.
But it's not considered very good anymore. Unfortunately. Happy hardcore artists I'm into are, like, DJ Hixie, DJ Breeze, Darren Styles, Scott Brown, DJ Ham. DJ Ham.
Ham's nice.
DJ Trixie. And a bunch of others that are fucking forgettable.
Very good.
Very good. I don't know what to say. Oh, why I listen to music.
Yeah.
I don't listen to music for music itself. Like, I only use it to, like... There are two main reasons I listen to music. One is to just sort of, like, keep myself in my little isolated bubble in public. So I can just sort of focus on whatever the fuck I'm doing. And it just helps me relax and keep out of things. Like, I don't care for what a song is trying to say. I have absolutely no interest in any sort of lyrics or whatever. I don't listen to lyrics.
That's right, yeah.
Just the song itself, let it go, let it speed my mind up or whatever. The second reason is I've got this little fantasy world in my mind, and a lot of songs just sort of help me characterize certain, like, people or styles of them. So, like, I got this dude who's very dubstep-y.
What?
Is he, like, fat?
No.
He jiggles.
I'm waiting for that someone to come on a stage and they just barely can walk on the stage.
As if a fat guy would be dubstep.
Touchy fingers.
Yeah, because he'd be like, whenever he walks, he's like, whoop, 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 whoop.
Not your fucking dubby, like the really aggressive dubstep.
That wasn't dubstep.
Yeah, he'd, like, move really fast.
Like your little light little, like, whoop, whoop, whoop. Just like the freaking...
Like crazy, like, dubstep.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what
T-Rex dubstep.
Yeah, T-Rex dubstep.
Yeah, that's when he brings out the chicken wings and starts eating, and then, you know.
Where it's just, like, really screechy and...
Yes. Yeah. I hate screechy dubstep.
Yeah, that's...
It makes me cry.
You're the worst. That's the only dubstep I like.
No!
It's so good. But yeah, that's basically it for me. Like, I really have no big love for music. It's just a way to keep me just in my little zone and just give me a bit of energy because I'm fucking tired all the time.
Tired.
Tired.
Oh, okay.
I'm too old for this shit.
You're so old. You're like, what, 19?
I'm 19.
Oh,
I'm almost the fifth of the century.
Oh, no.
I saw the turn of the millennium. I was there. I saw Y2K. I lived through Y2K.
Yeah. Do you even remember that, Dylan?
You kids don't
remember. I didn't
you
know.
Were like a one.
Do you remember the 90s?
I was like five when Y2K happened. I didn't know it was a thing, though. I didn't know it was like the world was going to end.
Yeah, I didn't know about Y2K.
I knew
all around
about it, but I...
Yeah, that's because you're like 50.
Yeah, you're way old.
Like 20, clearly. The oldest.
Yeah, you are.
You're like 21,
century.
Aren't you?
No, I'm 20.
Oh, I thought you were 21.
You can't go to Vegas yet. Alright, let's cut my segment here. I'll pop in my fave song so you guys can listen to it. It's Corrosion by Night Talk 22.
Oh god, it's gonna be a weird cut. It's like, okay, and that's it.
No, this is a nice, like, really cool, trancey rock song.
Okay.
That's like a normal human being might enjoy it a little bit.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
And we'll have your list that you've got up here.
Yeah,
as a spoiler box in the podcast in the blog post,
we'll pump some of that.
So
stuff.
If anyone is interested, they can go click on some links.
I would put another song in, but it's like 10 minutes long, so I don't think you want to listen to that.
Is it free?
Yes.
Just, we'll put it
almost all of it's free.
As long as we'll highlight it in the blog post,
yeah.
So people know which one it is.
It's such a good song. All right, that's it for me. I'm gonna go play Civilization while these other kids do stuff. I'll chime in when something cool happens, so you guys know how it's going.
Okay.
In the kingdom of Sejong. So I'm out. Ciao. We'll be right back.
list up?
I am in without my list. Fuck, I'm an idiot. Hey, guys. Well, I'm, you know, speaking for a bit before, you know, I hand the reins back to Dylan again. So I guess I'll just get started on why I like music. So I figured I'm going to be probably the most lame and... Don't do funny things while I'm trying to talk about music. I was kind of scared about this because, unlike Vincent, my taste in music...
It's like the greatest hits of music.
Okay.
Oh, sweetie, you have not seen my
album. Oh, no,
hers is the greatest hits of white music.
And when we say white, we say white.
Oh, I am so white bread.
I was, like, trying to do practice.
I'm multi-grade.
I was trying to do practice before, and I was like, yeah, just, you know, listen to this really good album. And then, she's like, what the hell is this nigga word? And I was like, fuck, I'm more black than you. And I'm
using white power.
Propaganda
is fine.
Propaganda is not a swear word.
No, I'm like, oh, I gotta use propaganda in my future.
We are terrible with our subtext.
Hey, everyone does.
Anyway, come on, let Henry talk about music.
Okay, so my taste in music is sort of... See, me and Dylan had this conversation where I figured my tastes are more about emotions and such. So the reason why I like music is because, you know, originally I didn't really focus on music because my mom and everyone had music and I was just like, I have no idea what this is. I don't know where to go, much like everything else. Just going to watch TV and maybe V will be on, which is why, you know, it was very poppy originally. Or whatever my mom was listening to, which was like Robbie Williams or Frank Sinatra or something. And
those are two very different things.
No, I'm just...
Robbie Williams or Frank Sinatra.
Actually, they're quite similar.
Yeah, they're very similar. Like, not everything, but
they're like...
Frank Sinatra did,
what,
like...
35 years between each other, though.
Yeah, but
if you put Bublé in there, then you've got a nice direct link.
All right.
Michael Bublé is the missing link.
But it wasn't until recently that... When I, you know...
Whoops.
Really went on the internet and sacrificed all chance of me having
by Microsoft.
Don't worry, it's not a minute. Just don't do a minute of any Microsoft music and we're fine. So, it wasn't until recently when I just, you know, when I discovered the internet, which, surprisingly...
You discovered the internet recently?
I'm serious. You guys, remember when it was like the one time you, like, showed an internet video and you're like, wait, you don't know about this? And I was like, yeah, I don't know about that video with the little anime girl with the vegetable in her hand, the green vegetable.
Oh, there's nothing special about that at all.
No, but like I didn't know about those like.
You just weren't like part of the internet.
Yeah.
As a culture, I guess is what you mean. Yeah, that's fine.
So I only really sacrificed any, as I said, chance of social life until recently, and figured out, you know, going on YouTube, obviously, and figured out more of my taste. And I mean, I listen to it because it's all about sort of my mood and how I feel and such. And I'm always about how I feel. It's sort of wherever it takes me and wherever I am at that moment. And there's never a moment... I'm aware that there's never a moment I don't like something. It's just that I'm not in the right state of mind to like it. So, for instance, like... Currently, I'm not into Vincent's style of music, but maybe I will be in an hour where I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And
yeah,
because
you listen to it and it's like the perfect music.
Well, then I'll be like, oh, wait, I'll listen to Lakai's music. I'll be like, yeah, I love musicals and stuff. You know, I love classical, you know. Or I'll listen to Dylan's music and I'll be like, wow, this is amazing. So...
Yeah, that's right. What you gonna do?
My taste fluctuates so much that there's never like... This is why I don't enter into arguments with music, because
I'm... You can slut for music.
Outside of the fact that I don't know any of the lingo, and I just feel like I'm just bastardizing an entire thing. It's just... I like too much that I can't discern what is bad, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is stuff that I really like, that I always like. And so I guess the first one I'm going to go with is Kanye West with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. I didn't like Kanye. I liked him, but I didn't love him before. I was like, he sounds good, but it's just, I mean, outside of the fact that he's a massive dickhead. He's such a...
Separate art from artist, Henry. God.
Well, it's sometimes hard when he, like, does some of the things that he does. I mean...
Yeah, but he's a cool dude because of it.
He, like, just goes on the stage in the middle and just interrupts someone getting an award by saying...
Oh, that was one time!
What did he do?
Taylor Swift
thing. Okay, so Taylor Swift was getting
this
an award,
like the biggest
thing. And Kanye just randomly goes on stage and says, "I'm gonna let you finish," but Beyonce was the greatest.
Oh, that's where that came from?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know where that came from.
And, you know, everyone hated him.
I'll show you the YouTube clip.
I don't really
but
care.
But again, I'm not massively, like, hating him. I'm just saying I wasn't amazed by him.
Uh-huh.
And then I heard this album called My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Is that, like, his new one?
Yeah.
It's one of the highest, praised albums of all time.
Yeah,
quirks. Yeah, what does that even mean?
It's very highly recommended by critics.
So?
Okay, it's at least one of his recent albums. I don't... Again...
Oh, so it's not like his newest one then?
Probably not. I don't keep up with
him. He turns them out like butter.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, okay.
Butter?
Butter.
Yeah.
Butter
no, like, fuck. Vincent knows where it's at.
Yeah.
But, anyway...
As a quick aside, just to let them know, I couldn't get onto Steam, so I'm playing Alpha Centauri instead.
Oh, no. How can you get onto Steam?
No wireless.
Okay.
Henry has wireless.
Okay, we're not doing that. Okay, anyway. So, that's actually quite relevant to this album, because basically...
Steam and wireless.
No, Taylor Swift. That, too! No. Basically, after the Taylor Swift thing, everyone really just... took a massive shit on Kanye. They really... They just, you know, all the criticism was insane, and
Kanye didn't give a fuck.
But no, he did, because when he made this album is basically him saying, not about himself specifically, but it kind of is a general tone about how music has gone, where, you know, rappers and pop stars have just become about fame and how there's kind of... There's been that loss of meaning to it all. And this is basically him being very self-aware about who he is and about himself, and I love it personally. The song, like, Power, which is just about him, you know, talking about all the shit he's gonna do, or, like, you move on to, like, Runaway, where he's basically telling people, get away from me. I am a bad person. Get away. And it's a really good album, but outside of advising it, that plays into my taste personally, because I'm very self-deprecating, if you didn't know, and it's certainly, this album really plays into that fact about myself, and I love how it plays with all these different styles in a way, but again, I like it how it plays with, you know, my feelings about things. The other album is Kid Cudi, which, do you guys know Kid Cudi?
Kid Cudi.
Yeah, I know him because you gave me that album once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I like this one because it's like a movie, which a lot of my music plays into, like, how it relates to other mediums. So, because I really like movies and video games and such.
Oh, don't worry, I don't have to say it. I thought I did.
Okay.
I wanted to. I wanted to shut you up so I don't interrupt you, but then the sneeze went away. Okay, continue. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. So a lot of my other stuff, like, I love Hans Zimmer's music as well, because his music is very
a movie.
It's a movie, and
he kind of, like, defines, like, orchestral soundtracks for films at the moment.
Yeah,
yeah.
And if he's doing it, even if the movie is just good, he elevates the scenes. Like, I think I love Kung Fu Panda because he did the sound. He did the soundtrack.
He did that?
Yeah, he did that.
Huh.
And it's amazing.
That's, like, different to his normal sounds.
Well, I mean, what he does is he goes to a country and
he
really explores it. And
he didn't do that for Lion King. The music in Lion King isn't African at all.
That was more Elton John than
No, but, like, all the score stuff. Not the
oh, well,
John
he's changed
stuff.
His...
It's just, like... Oh, look at our sweeping orchestral
Well,
violin.
He's changed in the last 10 years.
I'm not saying it's a bad soundtrack, I'm just saying it's not African at all.
Okay, well, at least in the last decade, like The Last Samurai, he's actually... Oh, pardon?
Sorry.
Last Samurai. That movie with Tom Cruise in Samurai?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That movie's so dumb.
It's really good.
Oh, man, that movie makes me so angry.
How long have you seen it?
How long?
How long ago?
Like long ago.
Long ago.
Like... maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
But it was so dumb. It was just like...
It's possible that someone white can go to another country and learn a culture.
Yeah, but it's just like, look at how fucking special Tom Cruise is.
Yeah, but do you know what Tom Cruise did for that movie? He was insane.
He's always insane.
Anyway.
He does that for any movie.
Okay, we're off topic.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
About Kid Cudi.
Okay, anyway. So I like, say, Hans Zimmer because it sort of relates to a movie and that whole story. And, you know, I like to sort of listen to music and, you know, create the story in my head while I'm listening to it. And Man on the Moon is kind of like that in the sense that it feels like a movie. Because the whole album flows like an album, like a movie. And it's like this, listening to it, I feel like, you know, Kid Cudi's having this weird adventure in his dreams or something. And the main song that I love in it is called The Pursuit of Happiness, which, the songs are good, but The Pursuit of Happiness is probably the one that I think really, just really excels at just being a song about how, you know, how life goes on and you move past things, but that doesn't mean that things aren't shit for now, and it's sort of that tone of saying, like, because in the song he's saying things will get better, even though the way he's saying it, he doesn't really sound like he believes his own words.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it sort of does that usual thing of starting off by saying, like, how I got out of the hood or I got out of the shitty situation, but then goes into this other stuff, which I like. Because I like that whole thing of the new urban music, I guess, which is about people like these rappers and dealing with the fact that of the fame and being about being popular and stuff instead of just talking about what they did when they were poor,
uh-huh.
Which I find really interesting and sort of how dark that is. I guess I'll get to another album in a bit, but I'm just going to sort of talk about two songs first that I really like. Lakayo might be the only one that knows this, but Billy, do you know Billy Bragg, New England?
What?
Billy Bragg, New England.
No.
Never mind. So, basically, New England is a song by Billy Bragg. It's one of those not traditionally good singers.
Is it like Bob Dylan, not traditionally good singers?
Well, not bad. Like, it's still... is this okay? I'm not, like, just talking about my...
What?
I'm just talking about my music.
Yeah, that's what I, that's
okay,
what I
want. Okay, cool. So, Billy, his song is kind of more, the song is kind of just about a guy who's, like, in his 20s who's, you know, dealing with a breakup, but that's sort of a good metaphor for your life changing and how you got to find a new way, which you got to find with a lot of relationship songs.
Gotta find your own way.
But it's very English, let's just say. Like, very English or something like that. And I'm not going to do more trouble accents or else Lakai's going to do the moaning. Which, not the good moaning, the bad moaning. But suffice it to say...
Never the good moaning.
You never do the good moaning, Lakai. Why?
You guys just don't do it for me.
We don't hit the spots?
No.
Well, there is a spot, but it's still
okay,
not...
Okay, stop it. Enough. It's gone too far. Get back to me.
I was actually referencing something that I didn't do. Anyway. But I really like this song because it sort of, again, relates back to me and how my life is sort of going. And it's one of the songs that becomes more relevant as I get older, which is weird. Because I liked it when I was a kid, but now I really like it because I am...
How old is this song?
Well, it's like 80s or 90s.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like some new song.
But when I was a kid, I was growing up.
Yeah.
The one of the songs. And
yeah.
When I listened to it, I was just... I liked it, but then I'm 20 now, and I'm actually at that age that he sang the song, and I'm really starting to see what he was talking about in an actual understanding way instead of just knowing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a cool song. Another song is This Is The Day. I'm going to try again.
By
The.
Oh, yeah, when I looked at your list, I, like, saw that, and I was like, oh, that's a typo. And then so I clicked on the YouTube link, and I was like, oh, no, they're called The. Okay.
It's a really cool name, right?
I was pretty surprised by
that. But, Lakai, have you heard of Empire Records?
That what sounds like the most generic record label name ever.
No, Empire, it's a movie. It's,
Oh, okay, well...
I'm trying to think. Renee Zellweger, and... Fuck, The chick from...
No, she doesn't. Move on.
Okay. Anyway, but that was a cool movie. That was one of those...
Did you just say the chick from Lord of the Rings?
The lead...
Like, there's
elf
that,
chick.
There's that one
elf,
female.
Elf chick.
Kate Blanchett.
Okay, the other one.
Liv Tyler?
Yeah, the Liv Tyler.
I hate Liv Tyler.
Everyone hates Liv Tyler.
Because she's the shittest.
Didn't you go
She just whispers in every single movie, and she can't act for
pretty.
Shit. She's not even pretty.
She's pretty.
No, I hate her. She makes me kill everything.
That's a little excessive.
That was another reason why The Incredible Hulk is a shit movie.
Oh, yeah, she was in that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Talk about the...
Anyway, Empire Records... Wow. I feel weird saying this, but it is one of the quintessential 90s movies because it just really, you know, gets that sort of state of mind of how the record, you know, that was the time when the internet was you know, just coming out.
Yeah.
And CD record comp... What?
Record labels.
No, like actual music stores, whatever, are coming out and are basically disappearing. They're going away. And... I'm not going to go into too much of the movie's plot, but it's about them dealing with and living in that time. But this song was at the end, and unfortunately it isn't actually on the album for Empire Records, so don't just... It's a good album, it's just surprisingly this song, which is at the end, which is the final song that, you know, gets you at the end, isn't actually on the album, which is weird. Because when I was listening to the album, I was going through and getting to the end, and you know when you get an album and you're expecting that song?
And yeah, then you get and then to it's the, not there and you're like, oh. What a shit album.
Fuck this album. But this is a cool song because it's really just about your sort of that moment when life changes. But it's in a positive way. It's not just sort of like, oh, all the good things are ending. It's sort of like, hey, you know, life's changing. Life's gonna be different. And you know what? It's gonna be pretty cool because getting older isn't so bad. You know, at least not when you're a teenager and turning into an actual adult. And it's...
What the fuck was that? It's just a little fuck you. That was rude.
You keep your mouth shut.
Anyway... I would advise if you're gonna try and find this one, like I've got the link for a better one because the actual music video's got that very. It's not one of the popular songs of the 80s. So when you try to watch, well, no, the movie's from the 90s.
The movie's from the 90s, but the song is from the 80s.
Because it's about a record label, well, a music store from the 90s, so they're gonna have music from the 80s.
Yeah.
So the song, the music video is a bit fuzzy and stuff. So you watch it, it's like, which is
oh yeah
yeah so. You know, Link is better than that one, but I really like it. I don't usually like synthesizer stuff, but some the stuff they do in this song is pretty cool. What they do, it doesn't
like 80s synths.
Oh, I
no,
love 80s synths.
Oh, dude, it makes me cry.
It
so
makes
hard.
Me the happiest.
It's
human
the
being.
Most uncomfortable thing. It makes you just want to shit your pants in fear
well,
because you're like, people used to listen to.
Well,
this.
No, they spent like a decade
still
where they
do.
Discovered an instrument, but they didn't. Change it in any way
because
so it sounds the same for the entire decade.
So bad. Cheesiest invention ever.
But for some and they've also got an accordion playing during the song and for some reason they all work well together. So it's one of those few times where odd instruments work together and it's not just
there's plenty of times that happens.
Well, it's not just they pulled a tambourine and then they were like, yeah.
Tambourines aren't odd instruments. Tambourines are shit instruments.
they're all right.
They're the most basic thing. Caveman instruments fully.
I'm okay with it being basic. But I guess the next album is Beasts of the Southern Wild, which
Beasts.
I mainly loved once there was a Hush Puppy, but...
Whoa, you got a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, don't talk for like 5 minutes for each of these, because that's going to take like several hours.
Okay. Alright, but I saw Beasts of the Southern Wild and Dylan contested that album.
I'll speed it up a bit.
Okay, that album was fucking amazing. You're going to be talking for hours.
It is amazing, but
yeah.
It's just not epic, which is what you called it. That's all.
Well, no, but once there was a Hush Puppy, I'm not...
Yeah, I know.
I wasn't actually jumping to that point, but okay.
Just saying.
Just gotta point it
just
out.
Just saying.
Steve, get in the comments, defend me. Prove you exist. Anyway, once there was a Hush Puppy, I thought was one of the better songs of the album. It's that point...
Is that the one where she's, like, running through the fireworks and shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, the main theme, I guess.
Yeah, and when she says her main big speech, which
yeah.
is... amazing.
Yeah.
And it's just... I love that whole movie, but the album just has this whole very natural feel about it, where it's sort of like small people being able to do being important for some reason, even though they've just got trash cans and they're banging them down.
You need to listen to Sigur Rós.
Sigur Rós, is it more of that?
Not really, but it's you'll like it.
Okay. Well, anyway, I definitely really, you know, like that album, and I definitely like that song. Again, because I'm simplifying this, I will be saying I like that a lot, and I hate it when I say the word like too much. It pisses.
Well, use other words. Just be like, I don't dislike that. I super don't dislike that. I really extremely don't dislike that.
Okay, anyway.
I don't hate it.
I just hate sounding like a 14-year-old that says like.
But you're not using that like. That's a different like.
Okay.
Hank Williams.
Hank Williams, Alone and Forsaken. Now, if you've seen the Last of Us trailer where it's like...
Why is all your music from videos? Which one?
No, I've linked it to the actual song, but...
Yeah.
The Last of Us trailer where it's just like... Sort of a cut... It's the one where it's just cutting through each of the different scenes in the actual, like...
Is it like the one that's got like that? Is it like a country song?
Yeah, a country song.
Yeah, I remember the song.
No.
I don't remember the song specifically.
Okay.
I just remember a country
song
in the trailer.
But it's really depressing and sad, but it's really cool in that way. And when I'm at my darker moments, the song definitely does relate to that sort of state of mind.
Uh-huh.
Which, if you hear any of these songs and find out that they're dark, that would tell you a little bit about why I'm listening to that song in that particular moment, such as Pursuit of Happiness. But Alone and Forsaken is just... The way the guitar is playing... And country is really good when it just goes straight for just the depressing emotion. Where it's just about how, like, life sucks. And you can tell they've been drinking whiskey a bit before they were playing the song.
Moonshine, not whiskey.
Moonshine. But, like, if you're out...
Way country. It's like jugs
and
different guitars.
And I like song, you know, seeing like musicians like Johnny Cash and such, where, like, if you've heard Dylan, if you've heard about it, but Hurt by Johnny Cash.
I don't know.
Okay, but
a recent song by Johnny Cash, isn't he dead?
Well, like last decade.
Oh.
The last song Johnny Cash did, which was a cover of someone else, but Johnny Cash blew it out of the water.
Uh-huh.
You know, when someone does a cover and they're just like, what was the original?
Uh-huh.
No. Johnny Cash came up with
like
her.
Any Led Zeppelin song.
Yeah. Anyway, Alone and Forsaken is just it's this amazing, depressing song, and you know that's why they used it for that trailer. Angus and Julia Stone. We're getting more into my India taste. Like I do not know music genres, but what is indie actually? A genre,
yes, indie's a genre.
Okay. Anyway, Angus and Julia Stone is definitely an indie song, even though there's definitely budget behind them. But
indie doesn't have anything to do with money.
Well,
indie is a sound, just as pop is a sound.
Okay. Well, Big Jet Plane is just a song about a girl.
Big Jet Plane. That's a sick name.
I'm serious. Someone posted, like, it sounds like an emotional song, and then someone said, like, is this a sexual metaphor? And then people are like, I can't listen to this song the same way. Because he's going, gonna take you on a ride on a big jet plane. I'm like, fuck, I can't take it seriously anymore. Because it's like, the whole song now sounds like he's taking a girl on his dick. But the song originally sounded like it was this song about basically getting away from your hometown, which we live in Sydney, so we don't know. Well, Vincent knows getting away from your hometown.
Hey, I got away from my hometown.
All right.
I
moved to Sydney to get away from my hometown. I know about that.
Well, you know, personally,
I really need to get away from your hometown.
No, well, that wasn't my home. I mean, I was alive, but I wasn't conscious.
Okay, but in America, it's definitely a big thing where a lot of people live in farms and they just want to get away from Texas, pretty much.
Everyone in America just lives in farms.
Every single one of them.
So they just want to move to either Austin or, you know...
Chicago or New York
or
LA.
Where everyone else lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Big Jet Plane definitely, you know, is about that sort of feeling. And it's a really cool song, you know. It's a constant guitar strumming, which I like. When it's that constant... you know, like the banjo. which is apparently what Vincent thinks pick guitars are all.
This is country.
This isn't country, this is that indie song, isn't it?
Yeah, it's indie. We're off of Hank Williams. So, on to the Beatles. Beatles are very
expensive. I don't know if you've got to really talk about the Beatles. The Beatles is the Beatles.
Yeah.
It's not much
I'm
going
to talk about two songs that I like.
So okay. You know the Beatles.
You know the Beatles, but I like two songs specifically called Julia and Something. I love H because, basically, I love anything to do with basically love on any level, but I like it when it's treated with a more honest tone that it's a bit, fiendish, in how it changes people. Such as Romeo and Juliet, how people do crazy, stupid things, even though...
started Romeo and Juliet.
Micaiah, am I going to be able to... Every time you're in the room, it's like I start talking and you're like, Henry.
Whoa. Easy, Tigers. Don't need none of that.
None of that good moaning.
Anyway.
I think it's a better example of...
I'm not talking about
than Romeo and Juliet. Like, Harold and Maude.
Yeah, but not everyone's seen Harold and Maude.
Like, Mork and Mindy.
Mork and Mindy, there we go.
Yeah, let's go with sitcoms.
Mork and Mindy.
Anyway, I like love when it's sort of that idea of you're innocent, you fall in love, but you don't like the fact that you fall in love. It's just, you're stuck with that emotion.
What is this weakness in my body?
Like, what was it?
Go with Pride and Prejudice.
That's a boring book.
Actually, it's a really good movie.
It's also a boring movie.
Every interpretation of it, I haven't actually read the book. So
oh my god, it makes you want to kill yourself.
Everything by Jane Austen.
I know, it's so bad. I had to read Emma too.
It's six pages.
Oh, it's so bad.
What's the one of The Spotless Mind, the Jim Carrey one?
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
That one's a good one about love.
That's a fantastic film.
And that's a good example of how there are these two people that are in love, but they want to get away from that fact of being in love, and so they're trying to find escape. And I like love being treated in a way, and of course these songs aren't like that, but they are in the sense that love is forcing, you know, is such a forcing emotion. It's not something that you can just easily resist and say, oh, I'm not in love. It's not a flirtation, as it were. I'm pulling the poet words. Anyway, I like Julia and Something because of that, especially Something because it's just... If you ask someone to actually describe why they you know, actually love someone, you'll find some people actually just saying, like, it's just something about the way they look or something, and that's just pretty much the song.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I'm trying to describe the movie The Thing, and I'm like, there's this thing that's attacking these people. The Thing.
Love to you is The Thing.
Well, you see, when I meet someone and
they... do know.
Okay,
good God.
Okay, so the next one is an album that, by this band called The Head and the Heart. Now this is, I'm actually going to go back to talking about a full album and such, which is, I really like The Head and the Heart. I love them because the way their songs work comes down into their name, actually. That was a sentence. In their name.
That's a good sentence, but...
In their name.
What kind of music are they, first up?
Okay, they're indie.
What is that?
Okay, like when you, it's like when you say they're indie, that's like saying they're electronic.
You gotta put an
indie is like
genre.
Yeah, you've gotta have like indie something. You can't just be like indie.
Indie rock, indie.
What instruments do they use?
They use guitars and they use
drums.
Pianos and drums and
so indie rock or indie pop.
I'd say indie soft rock.
Yeah, probably
so
soft
all
rock.
Indie rock.
Yeah,
it's not like indie deathcore.
Oh my god, this should be.
That would be amazing. But no, The Head and the Heart, their name in their songs are all about basically the place between the head and the heart where you are.
The neck.
No, between logic and emotions.
It's not as cool.
Don't join Lakaya.
A band about just singing about necks. That would be so good. I'll listen to that.
You want me to stop? You want me to just...
No,
no, no, no, no, come on.
Let's put Lakaya on the podcast.
She's after me.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's that sort of place where you're conflicted between doing the logical thing versus doing something that actually is true to yourself. And even you, Dylan, have these problems where logically...
Logic is true to me.
Oh, you say that now.
I say that now.
Logically, you should be a diplomat.
No, diplomats are shitty.
It would help the world.
He doesn't believe in diplomacy.
Yeah.
Well, anyway...
Everyone just being right.
Anyway, that's...
Don't need to do diplomacy if you're all just right.
Okay. The point is, there's that place between logic and your emotions where you're conflicted. Because what are you doing in any situation where it's like, okay, honestly, the right thing is to, for my, say, my career, I want to go to... For instance, you might, for your career, need to move to, say, LA if you're an actor.
Oklahoma.
What?
You got to move to Oklahoma. What flavor is this?
Vanilla and jam.
Okay.
No.
Whatever you're doing, you have to move somewhere else, but however, your heart is tied to
it's
a certain place. And you're tied between you're stuck on that decision. And a lot of their songs play into that.
Continue.
I can't continue while he's...
There's like some bondage shit going on here. It involves not breathing in biscuits. Sorry.
I'm gonna have a talk with you.
You got like a white shit on beneath your nose, dude.
Nice good Catholic bondage.
Anyway, I like particularly songs like Rivers and Roads or Cats and Dogs. And Rivers and Roads in particular, because it's basically the songs about these people, you know, who are in love and are at a great distance from each other, and they're trying to find a way back to each other. However, they know that's not the way things can go. And I really like how they go off of that emotion, as it were. And I really relate to that sort of state of mind where you're really conflicted between doing the right thing versus, you know, doing what's right for you. Anyway, moving on. Mumford and Son are...
I know that name.
Yeah.
Do I?
That's a thing.
I don't know what it is, though.
Okay.
It's a thing.
Well, Mumford & Son are, funnily enough, a country band that is still a country band, and yet...
Not a country band?
Well, no, they are a country band. It's just that usually it's like, you're like, see Taylor Swift, who was country, and then she got popular and became a pop star. And her style was pop music. Whereas Mumford & Son...
It's like occasionally twangy guitars.
Yeah.
So she's clearly
banjo,
country.
Banjo, sweetie. Banjo.
No, she doesn't use banjos. That's way too country.
No, she's banjos.
No, she used twangy
banjo.
Guitars.
Banjo.
She really uses banjos.
Yeah.
What a hick.
You were going to bang that, but now...
No, I would not bang that.
Oh, really?
She's also like 28, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's 23.
So if Taylor Swift...
What? As if she's 20... Whatever.
So you're saying if Taylor Swift...
Talk about Mumford
came to
and
you...
Sons.
Okay, anyway. Mumford & Son...
Well, I probably would, because then I could, like, film it, and then she'd, like, give
clinging.
Me money.
She's so obsessive.
She's very hot, though.
She looks like a mannequin.
I don't actually know what she looks like off the top of my head.
She's got weird, curly
blonde
hair and no tits.
Talk about this Son band.
Okay, so Mumford and Sons are a band that basically...
The Son band.
The Son
band. Worshippers of Ra.
It's probably a band like that.
Yeah, it's like power metal.
Not every
Egyptian
worshipping band
metal.
Is power metal.
Egyptian
probably,
power metal.
You know, a choir that go...
What?
The Egyptians didn't have choirs.
You don't know that.
Oh, well, I asked them once. They were like, no, we were busy building.
Continue.
So Mumford & Son are basically a country band. They... I guess they sort of... Mainly their songs sing about the bad decisions that they've made and how basically... How they've fucked up and how, you know, how shitty things are. I mean, I don't really have much to say, but I really like the song "The Cave" because it's basically that idea of you don't really know what relation you'd be singing about, but you know it's somehow deep on some level. But it sounds really good, and I love it. The Journey soundtrack, which has gotten a lot of praise very recently, outside of when it came out. Is, you know, from the Journey game. That
yeah,
was
not the band Journey.
Journey are really good, but not Journey. I might talk about them in a couple seconds. But the game Journey, that's actually kind of like Killing Me Softly, where every single review just can't help but start off with the fact that it's about the fact that there was a song called Killing Me Softly. But the game is really good. It's about basically
Nothing.
Talk about the soundtrack, not the game.
Well, no, the soundtrack is really tied into it.
The game's about a journey. The concept.
Yeah, I'm talking about the concept.
Alright, cool.
So, the concept behind it is basically the hero's journey, which...
Haven't we talked about journey in the podcast before?
Yes, we have.
Yes,
like,
but I'm talking
five
about
times.
My music.
Yeah, but just, like, speed it up a bit.
Okay.
You've got 10 pages,
mate. Keep interrupting.
I do not have 9 pages. I have 10 pages.
Oh, 10 pages.
Yeah. But I'm not even gonna mention some of it.
Okay. Anyway, the journey, the soundtrack, the music is... The songs are just very strange names that you probably wouldn't have even thought about before.
Probably like Blonging.
Like Nascence is one of the names of the song.
That's not a word.
That's that.
It's probably a word.
It's probably a word.
Not a good word, but a word.
How do you know? You don't even know what it means.
Maybe
it means like when spikes come out of your eyeballs and destroy crows. Then it's a pretty cool word, right?
What is it with you and eyeballs?
What's wrong with eyeballs?
But...
He's got a fetish.
Yeah.
I don't.
Colophilia.
No. Talk about it.
But it's kind of like taking ambient music, but for some...
To the next level.
Yeah, to
ultra
the next
ambience.
Silence.
To the other direction. Level.
Mega drone.
On ambience.
On
music.
But it has a very strange way about going about itself, and you know, with a name like Nascence, you would get that. Another one, Ivis Klein Blue. They did a song called Polka, which you've probably heard about.
Ives,
okay. Ives Klein Blue. They've broken up, which is a shame, but I like a lot of their songs, but the one I really love is called is Ginsling, which is a bit more country.
Wait, what are they ordinarily?
They're ordinarily... It's hard to describe because it's like they're one of those bands that it's similar, but it's not the same tone and the way they
similar
play.
Similar to what?
Well, I guess I would say, well, polka. They're kind of polka-like music.
They get their name from a contemporary artist in one of these weird.
Anyway, I like Ginseng because it's more country. It's a bit slower and. It's just, again, it's about, you know, long-distance relationships, which come up a lot.
Gross.
I'm going to be fast about this because I'm going to get a lot of shit for this, but I really actually like 303.
What's that?
That's okay.
What's 303?
They're very douchey, but...
They're incredibly douchey.
What is 303?
Remember, I don't know.
Black Dress?
What's that?
It's about the
Don't Trust Me.
Don't Trust Me.
I like
what's that?
Trust Me.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Okay, then...
you sit there, you continue talking, I'll just get my other.
Okay. Basically, they're these two douchebags that sing about being douchebags, but they...
Oh, they sound like douchebags.
But they have moments where they do slip into self-awareness, where they are, like, you know, aware that this is kind of fucked up about what they... Well, it is fucked up what they're doing to their lives and how it's going. And, for example, Colorado Sunshine is pretty much about how I'm a fuck-up, and if you love me, and change me, then I'm not going to be that... fuck up anymore. However, I'll be a different person. I don't know if I want to be a different person, and it's, you know, about that weird thing. It's basically about that strange contradictory argument of, you know, about describing yourself. Hypocrite, basically. I also like their other ones like Black Tress, Choke Chain, which took me a bit of getting used to because I don't like...
Yeah, Choke Chain's took a bit of getting used to.
That's for everyone.
Yeah. Anyway, once you get into it. Continue.
Anyway, it sort of slips into screamerish stuff, which I don't ever usually like, but for some reason it works for a little bit at least. I won't go over it too much, but, you know, they sound cool. Although, again, some of the recent stuff I don't really care for. Nina, who did 99 Red Balloons.
Oh, that song.
I love that song. It's so fun and, you know, dancey, which is fun. It's one of those stupid dancey songs where you're just like, I just don't care. It's so much fun. This other one is M83. They did, one of their songs that you probably heard if you watched the Cloud Atlas trailer, which was Outro.
You mean like that 12-minute fucking trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't there like 8 songs in that trailer?
No, it was really one song.
Oh, okay.
Called Outro. Right. They may have extended it a little bit, but only a little bit. That's how long the song is.
Okay.
And it's really cool, because it's... I might show it to you, because you might actually like it.
Alright.
It's just... I don't know how to describe it, like... It's tech. They're obviously using technology, but that's the part of music I don't know how to describe, because I don't know...
So it's electronic. Anything.
Yeah, electronic and stuff.
But what kind?
Like, I guess... Again, I got ambient,
what?
I got... techno and I've got...
Does it sound really, like, electronic, or does it sound kind of naturally electronic?
Natural.
Is it... How fast is it?
It's slow.
So it's just, like, some kind of electronica, like, slow thing?
Yeah.
Good. That was a good analysis.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
There'll be links in the description so you can look at these, but I just really like it because... It just, you listen to it, and it's one of the songs that makes you feel like you're doing something more important than what you're actually doing. You're, like, walking down the street, and you end up, like, just having more, you know, more inspiration to walk faster, just because you're like, yeah, I'm doing something, and then you stop listening to something, you're like, wait a minute, what am I doing? Oh, wait, I'm walking to the store to get milk. Never mind.
Milk.
Never just like, I'm getting milk.
That's right.
The other one, so Hadestown.
Oh, I know this.
Oh.
You've played this like 100,000 times.
And I love it.
It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's obviously my taste, so, you know, I really like it. I mean, you really like the one about, Persephone's song, I think it is?
Yeah, Lady of the Underground.
Yeah. And it's just, like, describe the album, because again,
it's a very earthy kind of jazz sound.
Yeah.
Isn't it jazzy? I've heard the album.
It's like
folky.
Folk opera. That's what they call it.
It's a story album. Like,
yeah.
Tommy for The Who.
Like a billion albums.
Yeah.
It basically tells this Greek tale of...
Orpheus.
Yeah. And
I read an essay on him once. He's a cool guy.
Yeah. And how, you know, Hades steals his love and he goes to the underworld to try to get it back. And Hades says... Okay, if you walk straight ahead...
Look at her.
Yeah, don't look at her. She'll follow you, and you will get out with her, and it'll be all fine. But if you turn back even once...
You selfish motherfucker.
She will be mine forever.
And he does that.
And he does that because he's an idiot.
And he fucks up. He done goofed.
Yeah. Because this is the Greek...
He also neglected to mention the fact that he's, like, the most important musician of all time.
Orpheus?
Yeah.
Is he,
like, created music in OG mythology.
Oh. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, he's got his little harpy thing, and he, like, made the best music in the world.
He's in this trans-ambient post-rock shit, and then...
No, it was more like he just, like, went some ding-a-ling-a-ling. You know, they didn't have much back
then. Oh, there was just Og and his friend Thog going, shh, and he was like, wait,
they have legit names
it was
in
a
Greek
bit, it was a bit beyond Og and his rocks.
Alright, fine.
He had, like, real instruments, you know? He had, like, strings.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There were people, like, making like, this sounds good, and then he was like, wait a minute, guys... What if we put this string here?
Okay, that's...
And then we didn't...
Talk about Hadestown.
So, Hadestown is, as we said, like, basically a modern reiteration, or maybe even a, you know, post-apocalyptic reiteration of the Tale of Orpheus, where it's set in a world where, basically, everything's shit. You are really poor, or you work in a mine, like, for Hades or something.
That was basically the Tale of Orpheus.
Yeah. But, in you know, it's obviously, you know...
They've just moved it to modern times, so they use a lot of kind of modernish references.
Yeah. But it kind
like
of even...
Google. Did they mention Google?
No, like, bars and cellars and shit.
Well, it kind of relates to even the present time for some people. Not us, obviously, but for some people who are dealing with the economic problems of...
I feel like it's set
era.
In the 50s.
The music sounds like it's set in the 50s, but it still feels a bit relevant to that problem. The problems we've
there are always poor people. It doesn't matter what time it is.
Yeah, but there are more poor people.
Continue
or not? Anyway, I really like it because it just I like folk music. I like
You like folk.
The magnetic. Well, I do like fucking, but Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. Such as his song Home, which I love. I love that folkish music that feels a bit more earthy. And Hadestown definitely really appeals to that. I especially like Way Down in Hadestown.
That's the first song, isn't it?
No, it's the third one, but yeah, close enough.
I thought it was the first one.
Yeah. Especially them on a train or, you know, in... You know, basically Hermes is like a poor hobo, fat hobo who's singing about how shit Hadestown is. I'm assuming he's a fat hobo. He could be a really thin
That's
hobo.
Assumption.
Oh, okay.
But, basically they're singing about how shit Hades town is, but then, you know, Orpheus's love is talking about how she's desperate for money and wants to go there, and it's like this conflict between the two different sides, and how Orpheus, you know, wants to get married, but oh, and, you know, it's all that stuff. And that's really good. Another one, Lust and Caution is, I've not seen the movie, so I don't know whether, you know, about the rest of that soundtrack, but I discovered the song from it called, Wong Chia Chis Theme.
Oh, is this, like, Chinese?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a really good song.
Okay.
I discovered it through, actually, the trailer for Beautiful, which is...
Beautiful.
Yeah, Beautiful. You know the one, the Javier Bardem
movie?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And that trailer was amazing, and I was like, oh, I really want to see this movie. I was like, wait, the song's not even in the movie.
Oh, I actually know the song you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So good. I love it.
I don't remember if it's good. I just remember it.
But I really like it. It has this very epic tone about it, and while it really is specifically about, you know, spies and whether this woman's going to betray this man or whatever, but I just think it sounds like the most epic thing ever about something epic. And it sounds really good. Another one is I really like the Midnight in Paris soundtrack, specifically Let's Fall in Love by Cole Porter. Cole Porter. Sorry.
I don't remember the soundtrack from Midnight in Paris at all.
I can show you the Cole Porter.
Okay,
song.
You know when he walks into the bar place and there's a guy playing
I remember
piano?
The
It's literally
movie.
Just 1920s jazz.
I vividly remember the movie. I don't remember the music at all.
It's just 1920s jazz.
Yeah, and I like that. But they have a guy who's doing... do you think it's a really good, faithful rendition of
It's a good
thing?
Rendition. He sounds nothing like the actual Paul Porter.
Okay. Because I searched and I was like, wait, this doesn't sound like anything like this.
And it's a good rendition.
Yeah. And it's really cool. It's that sort of...
But that's just a great song. It's really hard to stuff it up. I've heard so many versions of it, and they're all brilliant.
Yeah. And it's like sing-talking, I think.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's no. Let's not good. Cole Porter was great during his time because he basically all his music was sexual innuendos in some way. That's all he did.
Doesn't make you a good musician.
All about fucking.
From the 1920s to the 1960s, all he did was write sexual innuendos into his songs.
What a bore.
This was a very conservative age.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's awesome. And I like it. I love that whole movie, but yeah, you know, the music was...
That movie is so good.
So good.
The movie is so fucking good.
Oh, I really need to see more Woody Allen movies. Anyway, Cage the Elephant I like.
I know that name.
Yeah, and I like their song Ain't No Rest for the Wicked or...
The Borderlands
people.
In One Ear,
okay.
In One's Ear, In
they
One...
They have another song?
Yes.
As if they do. They
yes,
have the Borderlands song. And that's all they have.
Anyway, I like it. Like, what would you describe the music as so I'm not pulling...
Like folk rock.
Yeah.
I guess.
Which
country-ish.
Is awesome. And, it, you know.
Kind of like, I don't know. Like, not folky folk rock. I don't know. You know.
Another band that's kind of like them is, not exactly, but Black Keys, where they did this, I love Lonely Boy. And it's one of those times where you're like, I thought this with Hadestown. I was like, these are black people, right? This has got a bit of soul in it. And I was like, oh, wait, it's a bunch of white people. Whoa.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, because, yeah, I just find that kind of weird.
What are all these crackers doing?
But, you know, Lonely Boy's another good band that has this cool, really, you know, toe-tapping music.
Toe-tapping.
I like this song called First Day of My Life by Bright Eyes. It's a really nice love song, and the music video is just, you know, really sweet, where it's just about being in a relationship and sort of hoping that this goes for the best. And why is someone's hand in their face? And
don't look at Lakaya, okay?
Okay, sorry. She does things sometimes, and I'm not even distracting you. Okay. I just struggle to talk when I'm feeling embarrassed about my music.
I'm feeling embarrassed about your music.
It's really hard with you guys, actually.
We're not even criticizing you.
Okay, but...
Just wait till the microphone is off. Fucking rip your shit up.
So I love First Day of My Life. It's just, you know, a really sweet love song, and I like those sort of songs. And it's the music video really gets you, because they just have some moments where it's like, you know, they're just couples sitting, and then there's a woman with a picture of her late husband, and it's like, aww.
Do you know he's dead?
Because they're really emphasizing everyone's in the same room together. Why would they just have a thing where it's like, yeah, you know, your husband overseas.
Maybe he's just on a business trip. Okay.
I think you ever did the most pessimistic conclusion.
Maybe he just went to the bathroom.
He just really misses him.
Yeah. Maybe she's just got mad problems.
Maybe it's he comes in a white suit. He's like, come on, Lydia, let's go.
Yeah.
Lydia from Lost.
Lydia.
Libby
is from Lost. Lydia is from Skyrim.
Oh, okay. Oh, Lydia from Skyrim. She's really in love.
Continue.
Can you get with Lydia in Skyrim?
Continue.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I don't know.
Anyway, First Day, I just love that, because I like love songs as long as they, you know, as long as they're good and know how to be sweet. Or at least understand love.
You don't like savory love songs?
Well, I like them. I don't love them.
Savory.
I'm not a Vegemite love song fan, to be honest.
That's like bitter love songs. Well, that's just like love songs that taste like poo.
Anyway, I also like, I love the Arctic Monkeys. Specifically, Cornerstone, which is about a guy who's in a breakup and he just keeps meeting this woman and saying, just, you know, He seduces them, gets them, you know, to that point where they're all, like, having a fun time, and then he says, can I call you her name, my ex? And it's like, nope, not happening. And then he actually meets the sister of his ex and says, can I call you her name? And she says, yes.
Why?
You can call me anything you want.
Why would you say yes to that? That's the weirdest thing ever.
And
oh, look, I'm just a replacement body for this chick you can't get.
Especially if it's your sister.
Yeah, that's even weirder.
But apparently, you know, it's the way the song plays. I mean, again, you can't even tell. You've heard way weirder stuff than that,
I guess.
But it's, and you know that it can be. You can be convinced of the weird idea when it sounds good.
I wouldn't be convinced by that if I were a female.
Well, not convinced to do it, but I'm just saying, like,
I'm convinced, you know, that someone would do it. But
okay, but it sounds really cool, and it, you know, again, a bit depressing. I love the Shins, or at least I like two of their songs. There are one of the song called Simple Song. Which...
Is it a simple song?
It's pretty simple.
Oh. Simply named, I suppose.
But, you know, it's just... There's nothing much to really talk about. It's just, you know, sounds really cool. Indie rock. Not as soft. I love Flight of the Conchords.
Yay! Everyone knows them.
Yeah. And I love Carol Brown specifically. Because it's secretly a very depressing song. Secretly. Because you don't think about it.
Is that?
It's the one where they, like, it's just, he gets with the Aussie chick, and then he, like, you know, he's like, can we be together or not?
Yeah.
And the song first, it's just about him, like, talking about all his exes, saying, like, how he's, you know, why they left him. And then they have a whole thing where it's them saying why he's actually bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then he ends the song, like, the bit at the end says, like, he emphasizes his main bit of saying, why did you leave, you know. Carol Brown just left without actually saying anything. And the first thing you got to ask is, because it's the way the show's set up, it's all fantasy scenes, so they're imagining it. It's not like his exes actually came together and were brought together. So he's just imagining all of these problems with his past relationships and wondering if this one can work out, while he's wondering why Carol Brown didn't say anything. And it's sort of like, and he keeps, and all these problems being brought up by his exes are really just him thinking about his problems. And so he's really just wanting to know a reason why this one chick left him. And it's, you know, really sad in that sense. But again, I'm only pulling those meanings out. Another one, Robbie Williams. I really like Robbie Williams. Specifically, I like, you know, his normal stuff. But I really like his album, which is...
His normal stuff.
Well, normally he doesn't actually just emulate Frank Sinatra.
You know who else likes Robbie Williams?
Who?
My mother.
Henry's mother, too.
I know.
They can be friends. She got very mad when he got married or had a baby or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've pointed out that a lot of my tastes in music have been really influenced by my parents.
Well, yeah, everyone's music is. Except for Vincent.
Except for me. I'm OG.
You should be
going. First gen.
Does your mom even listen to music?
Yeah, she listens to fucking Colombian music.
Oh, yeah.
You should be bringing the Colombian spirit down.
Why? Not cocaine.
Yeah, bring the cocaine.
No.
Anyway,
I deal in space for cocaine.
I really like the album that emulates Robbie Williams. Frank Sinatra. He's emulating himself. No, and I love this, specifically the song "I Will Talk and Hollywood Will Listen" and "Me and My Shadow." And again, is there "I Will Talk and Hollywood Will Listen"? Do you think that's a cover? Because I know "Me and My Shadow" is a cover, but Lakaya?
I don't know anything that isn't on the radio.
Okay.
All right then.
Well,
I guess
"I Will Talk and Hollywood Will Listen" is referencing Kevin Spacey and Cameron Diaz. So while it is sort of referencing that sort of, it feels like it's from that time of Frank Sinatra and moving on to like Steven Spielberg when it was kind of a classical fictional images of Hollywood. But it sounds really cool. And I like jazzy, or, you know, I'm terrible at describing music. What would be the best word like for that bombastic Frank Sinatra
bombastic.
Era?
I think bombastic is a good word to describe Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, so bombastic type music, and I like it.
I said it, okay? He's not
Mr. Bombastic.
I just said
not really. No. I was late to the party.
Alright, but Dylan, you know, like, okay, you've listened to Frank Sinatra before. What type of music, like, what's his
swing?
Swing, there we go. So it's an album where it's kind of like swing, and I like Me and My Shadow just because, you know, it's two
blues.
Best friends sort of like how they, you know, will always be
what
friends no matter
say?
What. Jazz, I guess.
No.
Buble is just like old man's pop.
Old man's pop?
Yeah.
Old woman's
pop. I do like
pop before electronic things happen.
I do like Feel Good, though. That's a good song. I like Moulin Rouge, the album from that. Specifically the Elephant
Get
Love Melody.
I'm trying
it's a really good movie, but the songs are very much about sort of combining different songs.
Oh, the jukebox musical.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, dude, you have so much.
No, I'm nearly at the end.
You've got 3.5 pages to go.
All right, speed up. So it's a really good musical, whatever, and it's, you know, really fun. And I really like Elephant Love Melody. The Maccabees released a song a couple of years ago called Toothpaste Kisses, which I really like.
Is that like Strawberry Kisses?
Ew.
I've been missing your strawberry.
No. Who uses toothpaste for that? Gotta brush my downstairs.
What's it?
Ew.
What?
Why do you have to think it was downstairs?
Strawberry Kisses.
Strawberry Kisses is sung by like a 12-year-old.
What do you think it's about?
It's about 12-year-olds.
You know, lip snuggies, and
it's about oh, look at my strawberry flavored lip balm. I'm gonna like rub it on my lips and then kiss this other 12-year-old kid.
Do you want to get all
she was like 12. It's not about vaginas, Henry.
Sounds like it. But Toothpaste Kisses is just, it really is just about, you know.
It just sounds uncomfortable.
It really is just about.
It's, yeah, I hate toothpaste.
Are you done? Are you done?
Yeah.
Are you done?
Oh.
I won't be quite doing yours if you do keep doing that.
No.
So, Toothpaste Kisses is just, you know, again, just about kissing, but it's a really nice song about that. I like Paolo Nutini's Pencil Full of Lead. Just a really nice, again, folkish song that's a bit more upbeat. It's a shame a lot of indie folk music seems to always be a bit more about the downer stuff, but Pencil Full of Lead is just sort of like, yeah, everything's great, you know, I got a pencil full of lead.
It's about a pencil.
Well, no, it's about all this other stuff that he has. He's just, you know, he's using that as the main thing.
He has pencils.
Yeah.
Does he have a rubber sharpener?
He does. He probably says those things as well in the song.
The stationery song.
I like La Rue in for the kill scream remix.
That doesn't sound like your music at all.
I know, but I really like it.
In for the Kill Scream remix.
It's from the Dread trailer, but it's a really good song, and I really like it.
Oh, the Dread song.
I like Mr. Little Jean's The Suburbs cover, the song originally by The Arcade Fire. Another really cool electronic song. I like the theme they've got going for the new Doctor Who show called I Am the Doctor, which is really cool, very epic stuff, and again, like Hans Zimmer, it's a song that helps emphasize the entirety of the show where things that wouldn't usually be epic feel a bit more epic than they usually would be. I love Discovery So Insane. A really cool song. Again, nothing much to say. It's electronic and, you know, cool. Blah, blah, blah. Talk about that. I like Likey Lee's I'm Good, I'm Gone. You know, really cool dance, random dance type stuff. Again, like 99 Red Balloons, I really like songs that are just sort of like, you start listening like, you know what? I cannot dance for shit, but I'm going to daggerly dance just because it sounds so cool.
Daggerly dance.
Okay, is a pretty fly dancer.
Are you?
No.
When your ankle's not broken, you should dance for us. We can put it on YouTube.
Yeah, we'll put should it on the... No, we'll put it on the podcast.
Yeah, you guys watch me dance, Bolivia.
It sounds pretty
good. Oh, yeah, it was horrible.
Don't. Anyway, Stampeders, I really like ukulele songs, actually, and I like, actually, I really like the Adventure Time songs as well, because whenever I listen to songs, I've not played guitar songs as much, but I've really gotten into ukulele, and I like to, like, listen to a song and just, you know, play it on the ukulele. Pardon?
Uke out.
Uke out. And Adventure Time is a I like to deal with Adventure Time, especially, like, the recent song I Remember You, which is just really fun to play.
Can you do Making Pancakes on ukulele?
If I have the chords, yes.
There's no chorus for that song.
Yeah, there is.
Making bacon pancakes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You don't play it on an instrument, you sing it.
Well, trick question, huh?
Making pancakes.
Yeah, but you can play it on ukulele.
Guitars can't say making bacon pancakes, can they?
Do whatever.
Yeah, but you know, you want to emphasize.
Continue.
Anyway.
3 pages.
Anyway, I really love Cinematic Orchestra, mainly for the
song. Oh my god, can I just chime in now? Finally a band that I
okay, I'm
going to
say
like.
The bit I like because you hate that bit, but
okay.
I like... You know I have to talk about the bit I love.
Yeah.
So I love the song That Home, just because I'm a very depressing fuck and I like to listen to songs that really play towards that depressing side of myself, and That Home is definitely about that idea of finding a place, you know? While these fucks are really annoying, I feel very happy that I actually have these fucks instead of the last 10 years, 18...
I have these fucks. These fucks are mine.
I'm going to admit that... For 18 years of my life, I had no friends and no...
And no fucks.
No fucks. No social life, and it was really sad. And this song really, just really plays to that. The rest of the song's really good jazz, which I'll get to in a sec.
So oh my god, I love... This is the only band that Henry's ever shown me that I've actually, like, really fallen in love with.
I don't know how it happened.
Just
I was, like,
so
walking in
good.
JB Hi-Fi, and I was like, look, Dylan, I just need to get this album quickly, and then we can go. And then he was like, oh, fuck, fine, fuck, you dick face.
That's about right.
I just assume that's what you always say, Dylan.
That's what I always say. Completely correct.
So I get this album, and he's like, wait, what's this? It's jazz. What the fuck, you fucking fuck, you dick face. And I'm like, look, it's this really cool album. I'll show it to you later. It's like, fine, you fucking fuck, dick face. Then we get him and it's like, you fucking fuck, dick face. This is really good, you fucking fuck, dick face.
Dude, it like, yeah, that song, it's on like 1,000 YouTube videos.
Okay, it's been overplayed. I'm going to admit that.
It's
been
overplayed. It's in like trailers and ads and everything. You know the song.
Yeah.
The one, you've got that
one
linked, right?
I've got it linked.
Okay.
One version of it, you'll find the other ones. It's easy.
That song, you'll know it.
It's.
But the other songs are so good.
Okay.
Oh my god.
I like this song. I just, you know, it's a very, it very much relates to me at least in how I, you know, think about home and stuff and how I feel. Anyway, talk about the album.
No, I'll do it in my part.
Okay. Previews. Anyway, Michael, Paskalev has a song called I Spy. He's this I'm forgetting the country. Fuck it. He's one of the European countries.
One of the European.
You said Paul. You mean Portuguese?
No,
he's called... He sounds pretty...
Poland, yeah. That's it. He's Polish. He's Polish. Michael Paskalev. Anyway, I just like this one again. Another one of those random dance like a dag, like...
Is it in Polish?
No.
Oh.
It's not like 99 Luft Balloons, which is actually better than 99 Red Balloons. But, you know, it all comes back to that original song from the opening from Risky Business, which I love, which is just... One of my favorite scenes of all time, where Tom Cruise just comes in, has a candlestick, and starts just dancing to old time rock and roll.
What?
In his undies.
Yeah, I thought it was a burn.
I thought it was better when Tom Cruise was in Tropic Thunder and was like the most epic human being.
Oh, yeah, when he did his band a bit at the end.
Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder.
is a god.
Fucking Tom Cruise. Anyway, I love Cowboy Bebop. And
yeah, you do.
I love the theme song as well.
Yeah, you do.
It's a really good anime series.
That has the best soundtrack of any anime in existence.
It's so good.
There are still some really shit songs.
Oh, yeah, the end song, which turns out to be the end episode theme. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
That's like, I mean, it's not a bad episode. It's just kind of like the whole show is about being, you know, random adventures, and then the end episode's really plot-focused about this weird...
Oh, you mean, like, the thing that I didn't like about the show was that it was about random adventures, and then at the end it's not about random adventures?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll finally actually watch the end of the show.
Alright, anyway, it's also very cheesy Japanese, or...
Yeah, but yeah. The not-cheesy Japanese song, well, the rest of the soundtrack, pretty
yeah.
much, is, like, this really, really, really good funk. For some reason, Japan is, like, they just... like, churn out really, really good funk and jazz in Japan for, like, no reason at all. And the main theme, or the opening theme for Cowboy Bebop is, like, so fucking amazingly
yeah.
good. And then there's a whole bunch of really not that good songs throughout the series.
Yeah.
But there's, every now and then, there's, like, these songs where you just,
like,
your mind is blown by how good
when,
they are.
When there's a chase scene, and you're just like, whoa.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Oh, my God.
Oh my god.
Such
Even though it costs a load to get the series, just, you know, it's a really good app. It's a. And the theme song is the best theme song of all time.
Yeah, the opening is so good.
Fucking amazing. You watch it and you're just like, wow, I don't know what I'm in for, but it must be amazing. I like the Sleepy Jackson's Good Dances. I've played
it. I know that band.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Familiar.
The guy that did Empire is part of Empire of the Sun, I think.
Oh, I don't. I know that name as well, but I don't know what it is.
Walking on a Dream.
Yeah, Crazy Blue Guy and the other guy.
Yeah.
What?
Crazy blue guy with blonde hair.
You should see them.
I don't know.
Crazy.
They look funny, and
they look
got
Indian shit.
They have like a music video where they're going around Japan wearing the weirdest clothing. It's funny.
Okay.
I like Yael Naem's New Soul, which was used in a million Mac ads, but I still like the song.
Mac ads?
Yeah, like, you know, when they play a Mac.
Oh,
ad.
Mac. I was thinking of McDonald's for some reason.
That's Mac ad.
Mac ads ad. Beirut Elephant Gun. One of my friends showed it to me recently.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's the one where it's just constantly not, you know, not even changing how it's playing. And it, you like that. Because they didn't even break in a chorus.
I don't know. I think I've heard it. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I'm not going to recreate it, but it's cool. I like Frank Sinatra, as I've said earlier now, like My Way and That's Life. Really like that. I like the Ice Dance from the movie Edward Scissorhands. Love that theme. Love that song.
Danny Elfman, right?
Yeah. Danny Elfman's amazing, and this was one of those... The movie's good, but the theme song's amazing. Where it's about, like, basically... really freaking sad. Don't worry, it was just Lakai hitting Dylan. That noise. Anyway, Sarah Blasco's We Won't Run, again. Kind of weird, because it's kind of about the fact of standing together, which is an odd one with love songs, but I love. Much like Matt and Kim's Daylight. I'm, like, really at the end. Don't worry.
Matt and Kim, is that a band?
I love the...
I think it's a duo.
This thing is a duo. But Legend... I love the...
band.
And I love the Legend of Zelda music. I really love it. Especially that the new one they did for the 20th anniversary where they just, you know, did a whole orchestra thing, which they did with Gerudo Valley, which I specifically put down there.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, is that the one they did at, like, E3 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. That was cool.
Yeah, and it's kind of loses its Spanish flair that it had in the original game, but now feels like the most epic thing of all time, which they do. I also like other ones like Lord of the Rings, the Lord of the Rings soundtrack, Inception has a really good soundtrack.
Looking for a Dream.
You know?
Requiem, I've got that on mine.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I like Requiem for a Dream.
Requiem for a Dream.
In a similar vein, like just switching me, Globus, they're like this orchestral band, really good. It's like orchestral rock.
Globus is like this shop in Switzerland that it's kind of like David Jones, but in Switzerland.
Ooh.
Fun fact.
Thanks.
Yeah, you guys had to know that.
We did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do love soundtrack. And again, I love the Kung Fu Panda one. And you know, yeah, that's me. I listen to music mainly for emotions and how they make me feel, and they sort of music. As I said, music is a therapy for me. It helps me escape my problems, sort of like get away from them, but also help me get through them.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it...
So what do you do when you're like totally don't have any problems and you're super happy?
Yeah, like everyone else.
That still goes with my emotions, I just don't...
But then you have to escape from happiness, do you?
No.
Are you like, oh shit, I'm happy? No, 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 I need to listen to, like, crying music so I can not be happy. Is that what you do?
No.
Oh.
I listen to happy music and I'm like, yeah, I'm in a happy mood.
Oh.
Although I'm not really too fast when I'm happy. I'm not like, yeah, I need to listen to this specific band.
I need a stomp face.
Stomp face.
You know, I'll listen to whatever. Yeah. And that's me. I'll put a pause on this.
Do you have your... Do you know what song you're going to choose for the segment change?
I mean, it's either going to be something... It's either going to be... Dark Fantasy. My Dark Fantasy.
Oh, the Kanye West song.
Yeah, because I figure it's good opening and, you know...
Okay.
Good opening or, you know... I'll figure it out.
You'll work it out. Yeah, yeah.
I'll work
it's
it
all
out.
It's good.
Okay.
Kanye West doesn't like himself.
See you around.
All right.
From now, we'll all be gone. All our friends will move away, and they're going to better places. But our friends will be gone away. Nothing is as it has been, and I miss your face like hell. And I guess it's just as well, but I miss your face like hell.
Dylan's turn.
I just want to point out, in revenge for talking the weird noise during my bit, there's a whole section that's just about every album by Darren Aronofsky for the music.
No, it is not.
Which is a good argument. It's still, it's like one of the...
You mean by Clint Mansell, not Darren Aronofsky. Darren Aronofsky is a director and a composer.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
I just looked at it and I was like, Darren Aronofsky.
Well, that's because all Clint Mansell's best music is with his Darren Aronofsky stuff. All
right. I just found
Anyway, so I am Dylan, hello. Why do I like music? It's like all other forms of art, like painting, or maybe not so much paintings, but I'm not really into paintings. Like that kind of art. Like all other forms of like entertainment art, like film or games or whatever. It's like fogged and clouded by humans. Like pretty much all movies are like about humans. Right? And if they're not about humans, they're, like, about animals that are effectively humans. Everything, it's always about people, right? That's stupid. Fuck people. I see people everywhere. Why would I want to see more people?
Well...
Right?
Why would you want to hear people?
Why would I want to hear people? I don't care.
Okay, before you get into it...
What?
The thing is, movies are a combination of forms, whereas...
So? What's that got to do with
whereas
anything?
Whereas, like, pictures aren't about people, by the way.
I know, but movies are a combination of forms, but they're always about people, right?
Well, yeah, because...
That's fucking boring. I want to see a movie that's not about
people.
They're
not just sensory, and there are. They're just not...
Yeah, that's... Music, to me, it's like the purest art form, because you can completely take away all the human aspects of it, right? I mean, the instruments may be played by people.
I just wanted to say that it's...
The instruments may be played by people, but they're not. Like, you don't think... When you hear a guitar, you don't, like, think of a person. You think of a guitar. Or, like, just, you know, it's just a sound. And, like, if there was, like, a different, like, universe altogether, and we, like, met beings from their different universe, if they were to watch a movie, they wouldn't understand it at all what it is. Like, if their rules of life and everything about how their world worked was so different to ours, they wouldn't understand a film. Provided they can hear, they would understand music. And that's, like, so cool. That's why I like music. That's what I listen to music for. Because of that, most of the music I listen to is instrumental. The way I see lyrics is that if they're used as simply another instrument rather than like an obligatory... If it's like, oh, we're a band and we have a singer because you just have a singer as a band, that's just what you do, then that's wrong. If you use vocals as like a proper instrument, just as if they were like anything else, then you're doing it right. Or if your lyrics are just so good that it's worth having like the sacrifice of putting lyrics in your music, then that's okay too. But yeah, so I'm going to go down.
Wait, TMV?
TMV is Mos Volta.
Okay, sorry.
So I'm going to start with electronic stuff. I've got this cut into genres. Several of the bands are going to like overlap into numerous genres, so I've just chosen one to put them in. But yeah. Electronic is kind of a really broad thing, so all this stuff is going to be really like random. Tawly is my first artist. He's like this guy who, all his stuff is on YouTube, you can check it out. I've got a link to a full album by him. He does like glitchy electronic techno piano classical stuff. It's really awesome. It's pretty experimental and it's just like, it's really good. Standout songs, Eldritch Click and Light Leaks. They're all, you can just look at that on YouTube. Aphex Twin, everyone knows Aphex Twin. Microsoft Word corrected it to Aphex Twin, I just realized, I didn't notice that before. Aphex Twin is like one of the kings of like glitch and IDM, which is intelligent dance music, which is the most fucking swank, like wanky name of all time. But IDM is good, just disregard the name, okay? Disregard that it means intelligent dance music and that just makes it sound like a pretentious asshole. It's good stuff. Crystal Castles are a pretty like well-known band.
Well, funny thing problem with that is that people who don't know what the word means are just going to be like, whatever, but if you actually do...
Yeah, but if you tell them it means intelligent dance music, then they're just like, why the fuck would I listen to that? That sounds like the most arsehole-y thing ever. But it's good. Ignore the name. Crystal Castles. If you describe them, they sound horrible. They're like emo electronica, and some of their songs are actually just really shit, but some of their stuff is really good. They are good. I've got standout songs and YouTube and stuff. Some drum and bass kind of stuff. Dumb and Roland is like, I think it's a record label, and they've released like a few like, compilation albums and shit. And they do like 90s kind of like heavy drum and bass, like pirate radio kind of stuff. Really awesome. Caliber is this guy who does like kind of more like soft, chill dubstep, not dubstep, drum and bass from like the 90s. 90s drum and bass is where it's at, by the way. Edit is this really awesome, like glitch hip hop, artist. Hip hop in like instrumental hip hop, not like rapping. No rapping, no words. It's really repetitive, but it's really, 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 really good. I don't know how many albums he's done, but the only one I've got is Crying Over Prose for No Reason, and it's super awesome. Listen to that. Some more video game kind of stuff. Phantom Inc. If you know that, what's that show from Game Trailers? Hey Ash, What You're Playing?
Yeah.
That show that used to be funny that is no longer funny. The song that they use in the credits is by this guy. He does like chiptune 8-bit techno, and I'm not really usually into that kind of stuff, but this guy, he's just really, really, really good at composing music. Like, he just really understands music. He's really talented. Sometimes, like, through his songs, he just puts these segments in where he just covers pop songs, but, like, in a chiptune 8-bit sound. But it's like, he'll just have written his own original song, right? And then 3/4 through the song, it'll just become a cover of, A Thriller by Michael Jackson for like 20 seconds. And it's so stupid. I don't know why he does it. It just makes you so angry because you're like, oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. And then it just becomes Thriller.
Why
the fuck would you do that? If he just made a cover of Thriller, I'd be like, that's fine because I can just not listen to it. But he just puts it into his other songs and it's like, oh, it makes me so angry. But he's really cool. He's kind of like a guilty pleasure of mine because I usually don't like that kind of music, but he's good. Fatboy Slim. Everyone knows Fatboy Slim. Fatboy Slim is cool. I like Fatboy Slim. Lemon Jelly is... Fuck you. Lemon Jelly is like this really... They're like a chill electronica band. They do kind of like hippie electronica. I don't know how else to describe it. There are often vocals in it, but they're like samples, people talking and shit. They have like really cool drum beats. I always like their drum beats. They're really always like quite interesting. And they're pretty cool. They do like really cool stuff in their concerts too. I read about it like on Wikipedia recently. Like they do stuff where they just have, like, thousands and thousands of, like, the of balloons, and they, like, hand them out to children and do, like, free concerts of children or something. I can't remember, but it was cool. Lucy is this really awesome, like, progressive techno artist who does, like, trancey, not like Vincent's trance, but, like, really, like, chill trance. And it's really, really good. And the album is, all the songs on the album, if you put all the names of the songs together, I think it says, "The art of being a slave is to rule one's own master," or something like that.
Oh, that is
but cool. All the song titles are, like, sections of each word, and so, like, one of the songs is called Be In, like, B-E-I-N. But yeah, that's a cool, it's a cool little album.
I didn't know you liked your mom's music, Dylan.
Oh, you're real funny. Mum is this band from Iceland. Iceland has, like, some really sick music. Did you know, like, 60% of people in Iceland are musicians? How fucked up is that, right?
There's not many people in Iceland.
No, but this isn't a number, this is a percentage,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, everyone in Iceland is a musician. It's so cool. And they're, like, this dream, these, like, glitchy dream pop electronica type thing. I don't know. Just listen to it. It's really, really, really good. Very quiet. And it's really good at, like, making something sound really climactic when in any other song it would be, like, really lame, I guess. Not lame, but, like, it wouldn't be hectic at all, but they're just because their music is so generally quiet, they can make climactic things sound different to other bands because they're so quiet. I don't know. Just listen to it. Trent Reznor. You probably know Trent Reznor. He does all the electronics for Nine Inch Nails, and he sings in Nine Inch Nails, and I don't like Nine Inch Nails. So when he's doing stuff on his own, he's sick. He's awesome. He's started to do soundtracks in the last few years, like Social Network, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. He did some of the soundtrack for Call of Duty Black Ops 2, which is pretty cool. He's got this album called Ghosts, which is actually four albums, like, split into one big thing. And it's just, like, him doing a bunch of, like, crazy experimental stuff. Like, you really can't describe it because he's really, like, unique. Like, you listen, whenever you hear music by him, you can automatically identify it as Trent Reznor's music because it's so unique, and you can't really describe it. I have written in my notes that it's, like, experimental industrial drone core rocktronica. But that's,
fuck?
Like, literally, that you say that and it doesn't mean anything. Like, you just have to listen to it and be like, holy shit, this is amazing. Pendulum, yeah, really mainstream, like, techno band. Their first album is really, really good, like, what's, like, melodic dubstep.
I love
dubstep.
Your comment.
What?
Mainstream music, but it's only the first one, so it tips.
Yeah, well, no, like, their first album is, like, really, really good, melodic dubstep, and I really like that. And then their other two albums are just, like, more general techno. It's kind of like, you know, there's just those techno artists that they don't have, like, a genre, they just do all the mainstream techno, and, like, every song is, like, a different genre, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They do that.
CK.
Yeah, I'm about to talk about that. And so yeah, Pendulum's first album is, like, only dubstep. I mean, only drum and bass, not dubstep. And it's really good. There are a few songs in their other albums that are good, but generally they're not really very interesting at all. CK, one of my fucking favorite bands ever. They're these guys, they're, like, really, really, really creative and really unique. They're, like, They do, like, you can't, again, like Trent Reznor, you can't really describe what they sound like with a genre because they're, like, really unique, but they're really inspired by, like, hip-hop, by, like, modern classical, by, like, fucking everything, and they've got two albums, and they both sound really different. Like, you wouldn't really even recognize them as from the same artists if you were just listening to the two albums separately and didn't know who they were by. But the first one is a lot more, like, glitchy and hip-hoppy and synthy, and the second one is quite more natural. It's got a lot of, like, acoustic guitar and violin and stuff.
Yep.
Instead of being, like, really, really, like, blatantly electronic, like the first album.
You were joking when we saw them at the Opera House.
I was joking.
Yeah, and you were talking about how, like, they were playing more, like, instruments that weren't just, like, keyboards and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, why are they doing it? It's like, well, they're performing live, so it'd be a bit weird, you know.
No, but you can do electronic stuff live.
I'm not saying you can't, it was just
like, what do DJs do, you know? We saw Henry and I saw them live. I got a ticket for Henry.
Yes.
And yeah, they had like a string. How many people were in the string? four people, I think, just like with like some violins and cellos and shit just in the background. And like they're really amazing. And
they all can sing for some reason. I found strange, like they can all sing. It's not like, you know, anyone can do one. I guess they might not be able to play every instrument, but they all seem to be able to do so many different instruments.
Yeah, because they're fucking the best. And yeah, and they're like local bands as well, so I like to support local bands because that's fun.
But I love the guy next to us who just kept banging his head.
Oh, that guy was so high.
He was just like, oh my god, yes!
Yeah, but they're really good. One of my favourite songs of all time is by them. It's called Halley Wars. It's like, I think it's maybe like 2 minutes long. I might use that as my song actually because we can just fucking use the whole song. Like, why not? Because it's really short. Yeah, they're really, really awesome. Skrillex, I know, I like Skrillex. Fuck you, Skrillex is actually good.
Yeah, Skrillex is really good.
His cheesy stuff and his, like, emo stuff is really horrible and you want to, like, cut yourself.
I disagree.
So dude, his like, slower songs are so bad. They're so cheesy.
Yeah, his slower songs are really good.
They're so shit. But, like, when he's just doing his Skrillex thing, he's really good and I really actually like him. Virtual Boy is these guys who occasionally do really good music and occasionally do really bad music, but they're really good stuff. It's like a techno symphony. That's really like the best way to describe it. Like they just put like 25 layers of synths all together at once and it just sounds like so mad. And then sometimes they just sound like really, really shit techno, but sometimes they're good. So that's my highlights for electronic music, I guess. I'm going to move down to soundtrack now. I didn't realize until I started putting this list together how few soundtracks I actually have. Like, I always notice soundtracks in movies, but I guess I, like, just never download them. But one that I think is pretty good...
I mean, buy. We buy.
Yes. I go out and I purchase them as CDs.
At the local JB Hi-Fi store, which you should support studios. Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes I even buy them as vinyls because I really like to support those bands, you know?
Yeah. We support that iTunes as well, yeah.
I've bought hundreds of albums on iTunes. Yeah.
Don't we, guys? We're good people.
Hey, my music's already free, so...
but yeah, Attack the Block had a cool soundtrack. It was by Basement Jaxx, who I don't generally like normally, but they did a pretty good soundtrack for that. It's like it's a good blend of, like, techno and, like, orchestral soundtrack kind of stuff. It's good. Like, just listen to it, I guess. Clint Mansell is one of probably my favorite soundtrack composer. He's done all the stuff for Darren Aronofsky, and he's done like tons of other movies too. My top three soundtracks by him are The Fountain, Black Swan, and Requiem for a Dream. The Fountain is like really, really like this amazing modern classical soundtrack that for some reason, at the end, in the, like, the climax of the film, just becomes, like, this really, really awesome post-rock soundtrack. And you're like, what the fuck is this? It's so good. Post-rock is one of my favorite genres, by the way, and I'll get to that later. But yeah, he it's, like, really, really beautiful, like, piano pieces and stuff like that.
Oh, shit, you've updated.
With insane, like, harps and violins and shit. Black Swan is just, like, the Swan Lake music, but just done better. And with occasional little electronic parts in it.
I'll just say it's darker, alright?
It's way darker, yeah.
I like the original Black Swan, but I see what you mean.
You mean Swan Lake?
Swan Lake, whatever.
Yeah, I love... His Black Swan soundtrack is just so good. Requiem for a Dream. It's less of an... It's a soundtrack you can appreciate less, just because a lot of the songs are not necessarily designed to be good so much as they're designed to be appropriate for what's going on. Like, there's that, like, happy party song that's like... Dun, 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 dun. And it's not, like, a good song, but it's not meant to be good. It's just meant to be appropriate for what's going on, and it's meant to be kind of, like, trippy and weird, you know what I mean?
And the theme song has
but, like,
been
the,
used.
Lux Aeterna, the song that everyone knows because it's used in, like, everything, is pretty good. The Tron Legacy soundtrack, I like that. You all know that. I hate Daft Punk ordinarily, but again, they're... Tron Legacy soundtrack is good.
That was an amazing soundtrack.
I'm not going to go into it because everyone knows it. Hotline Miami is this game that just came out that has this really cool, like, chill wave soundtrack that occasionally becomes really bad because it's set in the 80s, and so they have to have, like, bad 80s songs every now and then just to fit the tone. But when it's not being shitty 80s music, it's really, really fantastic and cool.
And then there's like this one random hip hop song on the album that's just super good. Classical, I don't listen to much classical. I only have two artists on here, which is not very good. Bad me. Nils Fromm, which is this guy who I don't know where he's from or what he does or who he is, but he's like, he does like really, really beautiful, like very quiet modern classical with like electronic overtones and stuff in it, and it's awesome. And Philip Glass, you probably all know Philip Glass, he's done like everything ever. And he's just like one of the kings of like...
What's Metamorphosis from?
One of his albums. It's not from a movie or anything.
Oh.
It's just one of his like composed albums. Yeah, but he's like probably like the god of modern classical, I guess. He's like the most famous modern classical composer in like popular culture, at least. Like, I'm sure if you're into the whole scene, then he's not the biggest deal.
Okay.
But in terms of like people that don't like live for modern classical, he is probably the biggest. But you know, he did like the Koyaanis Katsu soundtrack and stuff like that, so he's a pretty big deal. Prog rock, I love prog rock. Prog rock is the sickest. The main problem I have with prog rock is that as a genre, it doesn't specify the sound of the music at all. It only specifies like the structural kind of way the music is structured, but not necessarily how it sounds. And what that means is that you've got to wade through a whole ton of bands that you just don't like the sound of when you're looking for good prog rock, because there's so much diversity in how all the bands sound. And that's kind of frustrating because there's just a ton of them that you just don't like. But
are you just going to list every single Marsvolt album?
No, I'm not. I've done that for the blog post, but I'm not going to do it in the actual.
Okay,
thing.
Okay.
But yeah, Marsvolta is one of my two favorite bands of all time. They blow my mind 100% of the time, always, except for their newest album, which was still really good, but not as mind-blowing as the other ones. They are, like, so insane. Like, they do, like, fusion jazz, they do, like, funk parts, they have, like, Latin parts, they do, like, ambient, like, drone stuff, they do, like, electronic stuff. They just do, like, the best, like, metal ever. They just blow your mind. And depending on what kind of music you want to listen to, you'd want to listen to, like, different albums by them. But I've got that listed in the blog post. If you are interested, then go to that. But, like, if you like rock at all, you'll probably like something by them. Moving on, Frank Zappa, he's, like, the king of prog rock because he's, like, the most inventive musician in, like, the last 3 billion years. He's just, like, so amazing. I remember seeing this thing recently on YouTube where he was at, like, a talk show. This is from, like, the 60s, and he did, like, this, free jazz, kind of, like, he did, like, this free jazz thing on the talk show, and the instrument he used was a bicycle, and it was so cool. So, so awesome. I love Frank Zappa.
Okay, I hate to say this, but I don't know much about, I know Frank Zappa, I just don't know, like, can you just, for me...
Yeah.
For me, describe Frank Zappa. I'm sorry, audience.
You can't describe Frank Zappa. That's the whole thing with him. He's crazy. He's fucking insane. He's like the David Lynch of music. He's just like, he just blows your mind. Only David Lynch made bad things too. So he's not like the David Lynch of music. But like, yeah, every album by him is like really weird. He does a lot, on his like albums, he actually does a lot of comedy stuff. Like all his songs are like really, really humorous and funny. But like you listen to his music, and it sounds so frantic and all over the place that you're like, this has to be all improvised. But, like, everything he writes, everything that is on his albums and stuff is all, like, composed and written on sheets and organized, and it's just, like, blows your mind. And you just have to listen to him and just be, like, have your mind blown. I've got a link to Apostrophe, which is an album by him. It's only, like, a 25-minute-long album. It's really short. So the whole album is on just one YouTube video.
Yeah.
So listen to the whole album, and it's like another story album, like that one that you had. King Crimson, cool. One of the old like classic prog rock bands. I actually tend to dislike a lot of the old ones, like Pink Floyd and stuff like that. I just don't really find them interesting. But King Crimson is like the exception to that rule that I find them like a really, really fantastic like old style like 60s, 70s prog rock. And I've got In the Court of the Crimson King. Yeah, you know that song.
Yeah, I know.
Got
one song.
That's like the first song from their first album, from like 1961 or something. They're really good.
Kayo Dot is this, like, hard rock, noise jazz kind of band that they're just, like, really cool. Their singer takes a bit of getting used to. He does, like, kind of annoying vocals. But once you kind of get over that hurdle, then they're really, really, really good. I've got one of the songs there. Radiohead. Everyone knows Radiohead. I don't understand why Radiohead got so big, because they're fucking insane and so complex and so amazing. But, like, somehow, people just decided to like them, and they became, like, one of the biggest bands of all time. And I really love that, because they're so good. A lot of their music I'm not really too big on, actually. Like, In Rainbows, I'm not really a fan of that album at all. And The Bends. No, not The Bends. Or is it The Bends? Yeah, The Bends I'm not too big on. But a lot of their stuff is just, like, amazing. OK Computer and Kid A are probably their two best albums, like, by far. And Amnesiac's pretty good, too. And they're just, like, amazing. But you probably know Radiohead. Tangled Thoughts of Leaving, another Australian band. They're just, like, insane, super schizophrenic, like, jazz prog, like, metal. And they're just, like, insane, like, super mathy and, like, really, really, really over the top.
What is mathy mean?
Math rock. Okay, math rock.
Is it just, like, calculators playing or something?
It's there are zero calculators. Well, I'm sure there's one math rock band that uses calculators somehow. But no, it's just like, yeah, it's music. Like, all music is mathematics, of course. But it's music that's like really, really, not frantic, but like, I don't know, like schizophrenic, I guess. In the sense that,
I just want to see up the pitch.
What are you doing? Go away.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, it's like really kind of never, it's like never 4-4. It's always like really, you never, unpredictable, I guess. Like the first time you listen to a math rock song, you never know what it's going to sound like 2 seconds from where you're at now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It can just change like out of nowhere and become completely different straight away.
It sounds like the opposite of what math is.
That's a good point. But yeah, it's like, it's really crazy. And they're like, it's this super insane, ridiculously amazing, like super frantic, like jazz metal band.
Okay.
And they're insane. And they're from Perth. So they're cool. They've got like this one random song where they have like a screamo vocalist for like a minute and a half. And you're like, what the fuck is this? But then the rest of the time, they're awesome. Tame Impala. This is not really a prog rock band at all, but I don't really know where else to put them in my big list, so I just put them into prog rock. They are, like, psychedelic rock, and they're pretty standard, but just really good. I'm not really going to go into them.
Because there was a line there that was wrong.
Where? What? What?
End line.
Why won't you make up your mind?
No.
What?
Like the description.
Oh, I spelled Beatles wrong. Like the Beatles. No, they are. Like the Beatles, they're like, if the Beatles...
Like good.
Like, because the Beatles are bad.
They are not, they are good.
They were good 60 years ago, they're not good anymore. They're done.
Good.
Fuck the Beatles, okay? But,
the rest of it's fine.
But,
I'm
like,
fine with the rest
the Beatles, when they were in, like, when the Beatles were in, like, their psychedelic stage, if they were still alive and making music now, and they were making that kind of music, they would be Tame Impala, basically.
Okay.
Anyway, post-rock, and so I watch you from, post-rock and math-rock here, this is, like, all together. And So I Watch You From Afar. This is like this really heavy, hard rock metal, math metal, I guess, band. They're pretty generic, I guess, but they're just really good. I'm not going to go into them. Couch, they're like one of the earliest post-rock artists ever. I don't even know if it's like one guy, but it's like Germany is like this most creative, inventive place for music ever. Like they like invented techno, they invented post-rock, they fucking invented everything. They're so good. Germany, you rock when it comes to music. But they, yeah.
Praise the fatherland.
Yeah, praise the fatherland. But Couch is, like, one of the first ever post-rock bands, and they, like, they work with a lot of, like, loops and that kind of thing, but they're really cool. God is an Astronaut, super standard post-rock, but, like, really good. Not going to go into them. Godspeed You Black Emperor, absolutely the best, like, ambient drone post-rock band ever. They're so good. They're, like... You call them post-rock, but they're really not. They're like, everything. They do, like, they have songs where it's, like, just really, really apocalyptic, like, ambient classical music, and then there's songs where there's, like, these random, like, folk sections through them, and then there's just the parts where it really is, like, heavy, like, apocalyptic post-rock,
All their stuff is really apocalyptic, but they're just amazing. One of their songs was used in the beginning of 28 Days Later when he's, like, walking through the streets and there's nothing around anywhere. And there's, like, that really awesome song in the background. That's them.
It makes you feel bad.
It does make you feel bad.
That theme song makes me feel bad.
Oh, yeah. Can I... Because Henry, we spent so much time talking about emotion. I just want to, like, talk about this. Music doesn't affect me emotionally at all. Like, I don't know why, but, like...
This is a weird conversation we had.
I remember I was, like, playing this song for Henry because I was like, oh, you need to listen to this. And he was like, man, this is so sad. And, like, my mind just exploded because I had, like, never comprehended that song as a sad song. To me, it was just a really good song. And to him, it was, like, this really, really depressing song. And I was like, I guess it is depressing. But, it, like, it never occurred to me. To me, it was just really, really fantastic. And, yeah, so I listened to tons and tons of music that I guess people would call really depressing.
No, I see you go through all kinds of emotions. It's just that you're not aware of it.
I guess. But
Virtual Boy is, like, nothing like sad. It's just kind of...
Yeah, no, but, like, yeah, that's the thing. I listen to so many different emotional tones of music, I guess. But I can listen to Godspeed You Black Emperor when I'm in, like, the happiest mood ever and really appreciate it. Just as I can listen to, like, Skrillex when I'm really sad and still like it as
well.
Or
you could be a Nazi. I mean, we need to not cross out the possibility.
But yeah.
Vincent did have a point.
If These Trees Could Talk is this post-metal band that, like, you know, there are some bands that they do nothing interesting or creative ever at all, but, like, they just, like, copy ideas that have already been created by other people, but
yeah.
they just do them better, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If These Trees Could Talk could do that, it does that. Like, every time you listen to any of their songs, you're like, oh, it's that generic post-rock thing that all the post-rock bands do. But they just do it better than anyone else does.
But I, like, not appreciate it because I don't know all the other things.
I guess if you're not well versed in post rock, if you just listen to them, maybe you'd actually like them more than I do because you'd be like, "Wow, this is really innovative." But because I'm really familiar with post rock and I know all the things that all the, like, generic bands do, I listen to these guys and I'm like, "Oh, this," and then I'm like, "Oh no, wait, oh, they're doing it really well. Oh, this is so good." But yeah, they're really good post metal.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like watch Cowboy Bebop, and it's just smooth jazz for me.
Yeah, it's not smooth jazz, it's funk.
No, it's like...
Okay, no, there's occasionally...
Like, when I'm watching
jazz,
it, it's kind of like one of those types
yeah.
of things.
But, Laura, I don't know if... I guess you pronounce it Laura, like the name. Yeah. They're, like, this really... This is one of the few bands that, like, I listen to it and I identify it as depressing before someone tells me it is. Like, they're so depressing.
You think yourself sound like you have autism or something? Just can't comprehend emotion.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, but they're, like, really extremely depressing and opposed to, and, like, apocalyptic. But, like, Godspeed You Black Emperor and a lot of apocalyptic bands are, like, really, really quiet. And they have, like, 25-minute songs where for, like, 18 of those minutes it's just, like, guitars kind of, like, screaming. And then for, like, the climax in, like, the last three quarters, it'll, like, get really heavy and hectic, and then it'll die down again for a few minutes. That's kind of, like, really predictable post-rock structure,
yeah.
I guess. Laura is this band that's really sad, but all their music is very eventful. There's no, like, really long, like, 8-minute lulls where it just kind of, like, dreams for a bit.
Mm.
Like, there's always something happening in their music. And, yeah, so... They're really insane. They have, like, they use really strange instruments a lot of the time. Like, sometimes you just listen to their stuff and you're like, I don't know what that is that's happening in the background. And it's really, really cool like that. And they just have, like, some really insane things. They have this one song at the end. I'm just going to talk about this song in particular because it just blows my mind every time I hear it. At the end of it's, like, the last song on the album. And then, like, it's maybe, I don't know, like, 8 minutes long. And for, like, the last 3 minutes, it's just, like, they have a thing where, like, the drums will be, like, dun, and then the bass will be, like, boom, and, like, they'll all just hit their instrument at the same time, right? And then they'll just kind of let the sound, like, die out, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Where everyone's just, like, dun, and it just kind of goes, like, until it's completely silent, right? They do that, and then once it's silent, they'll wait a few seconds, and then they'll do it again, right? And... They keep doing that, and then every time, like, the gap between when they just hit everything again gets a bit longer. And for, like, the last few times they do it, like, there's, like a 10 or 12 second pause between each thing, and you're, like, you're not sure if the song's over or if there's, like, one more to go. And it's, like, the most tense thing where you just, like, stop everything you're doing, and you just, like, listen to the music, and you just, like, you wait to see if there's, like, another one coming, and it's just, like, it's amazing. It just blows my mind.
Kind
so
of love that feeling and hate that feeling at the
same
time.
Yeah, it's, like, really, really, you get, like, really strained and uncomfortable and tense, and then, like, they hit it, and you like, release yourself, and you're like, oh, yes. Or, like, the next album on your iPod will start playing, and you're like, oh, okay, it's over.
Make it so it's the happiest go lucky song, just to fuck with your mind.
Long Distance Calling, they're, like, this really proggy post-rock band. Sometimes they have this really shitty, like, grunge singer. Well, no, he's not, like, grungy, and he doesn't do, like, the rah grunge thing, but he just sounds like he'd be in a grunge band.
But,
you know when a grunge band does, like, their acoustic song and the guy can't sing for shit? It's like,
yeah,
like that. That they have the singer that comes in for a few songs and he does that and it just makes you want to fucking kill yourself. But when they're not, when they haven't got
I hate that.
Yeah, when they haven't got a really bad singer, they're like this really, really good band that all their songs are like, they have like one or two bars that they kind of keep repeating for like 12 minutes, but they keep kind of evolving it and progressing it. But like you can still recognize it as like that same little catch that they have.
Yeah.
But it just kind of keeps changing and evolving throughout the song, and it's so good.
How did that happen? Because I know people that are into that. That are like, they have this culture, they're into this screamo-y, or like, they're like, oh my god, this is the most amazing thing with someone.
Yeah, it's just like when people that like to be angry feel a little bit sad, but they don't know how to feel sad because they're always angry, and so they have this really ugly, cheesy, sad sounding song.
And they got to take a massive shit, apparently. Yeah. Those singers are just like...
Yeah. But, yeah, Maybe She Will, one of the... They sound kind of a bit generic at first, but they're one of the most creative post-rock, math-rock bands out there. One of my favorite songs of all time is by them, He Films the Clouds Part 2. It's up there. They really, really, really effectively harness piano. Like, with a lot of post-rock bands, piano is a really important secondary instrument. With them, it is just as important as the drums or the bass or the guitar or whatever. It is just as... It's in the forefront of the music just as much as all those instruments are, and it's in every single song by them.
Okay.
And they use the piano to such a great effect, and they're just, like, amazing. They also have a lot of electronic influence and that kind of stuff, and they use plenty of that. They're awesome. Mono is this insane, I think they're Japanese, like really, really, again, quite standard, sounding post-rock, like of the really slow style that I was talking about before, where it's like a 12-minute song of 3 minutes of something actually happening and the rest of it is just like, with the guitars just kind of swelling, I guess.
Mm.
But, and a lot of the time I kind of get a bit bored by that kind of music, but these guys are like the absolute best at it that I've ever heard in my life. And they're fucking insane. Really, really apocalyptic again. There's a lot of apocalyptic post-rock. I don't really know why. It's just, that's just how it is. Pivot. They had to change their name. It was originally P-I-V-O-T, but then, like, there was some copyright issue, so they changed it to capital P-V-T. Their first album is really, really good, like, electro post-rock that's quite kind of jumpy and dancey. It gets a bit, like, it's quite jazz-influenced a lot of the time. And it's quite electronic, though. Really fantastic. Their second album, they became just a really generic indie band, and you're like, what the fuck happened? So, listen to their first album, it's brilliant. Sigur Rós, probably the most well-known post-rock band of all time. They're in, like, tons of movies and shit. Really, like, cute, pixie, happy, dancey type stuff some of the time. Quite folky, that's why I said you'd like them.
Okay.
Sometimes they're like that, and they're really jumpy and dancey and happy, and then other times they're, like, really ambient. Where, like, you'd almost mistake them for just, like, an ambient band rather than, like, a post-rock band.
Okay.
Really awesome. Quite poppy a lot of the time, too. Sleep Makes Waves, a pretty standard, but really, really, really good, quite a little bit heavy sometimes. Band from Sydney, again, awesome. Tides from Nebula, a really catchy kind of post-hard rock band. I wouldn't call them metal, but they're not just rock, either. Vincent's...
What are you looking at?
Vincent is dead.
Yeah.
Before that.
You were looking so dead. You didn't see that. It was just like just slowly falling down your face.
You Slut is an awesome band. They're so good.
Is that why I say You Slut?
No, but I should. But they're really really pure math rock. Like when I was talking about of like that really unpredictable sound, they're like the perfect example. Like if you want to be like what's math rock, you listen to You Slut and you're like, okay, now I know. They're like the best example for someone that doesn't know what math rock is. Of what math rock is.
Okay.
And they're one of the happiest math rock bands out there, too. A lot of math rock bands are, like, really angry or sad or apocalyptic or whatever. Mm. These guys are, like, jumpy and happy and awesome. And that's cool. Six of
Okay, wait. Can we do your other bands first before we get into that one? Because that one's a long one.
This is the last. I'm gonna do the same I did with Mars Volta. I've got a huge list here, but I'm not gonna say it all there.
Okay. So I thought that was other bands.
No, this is all 65 Days of Static.
Sorry, Dylan said he had 10 pages, and I realized he had 12, and I was...
Oh, I have 12 pages?
Yeah.
And I didn't even... I only did 60% of my list, too. 65 Days of Static, my other of my two favorite bands of all time. The most inventive, creative, innovative post-rock band ever. Their stuff is so unique, like, your mind just explodes when you hear them. They've released, like, 100 EPs and 100 singles, and they've released an album where they just do, like, techno remixes of random songs that, like, no one would ever expect them to do. They've done a soundtrack for this science fiction movie called Silent Running. They just did it. They just wanted to do a soundtrack. They didn't ask anyone if they could do the soundtrack for the movie. It's like some 80s movie. I haven't seen it. But they were just like, we're just going to do a soundtrack for this movie. And then they released it, and people were like the people that owned the rights to the movie or whatever, were like, wow, this is an awesome soundtrack. And then they just released the movie again at a film festival like last year with 65 Days of Static soundtrack over the top of the movie rather than the original soundtrack. How fucking cool is that, right? Like, they just do the crazy shit.
Did you watch the movie?
No, I haven't seen it.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I want to see it. I want to see it with that soundtrack, though.
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Actually, like, watch both and be like, whoa.
They are really, really influenced by glitch and that kind of stuff as well. Like, they're not only rock. They're probably the most electronic post-rock band that I'm aware of, at least. Maybe Pivot is more electronic, actually. But, like, I'm going to just go through each album really, really briefly because all their albums sound extremely different. But The Fall of Math is this really kind of lo-fi, glitchy post-rock album that it has these really, really beautiful moments where there's like this really like beautiful piano kind of rock sound. Like the thing with post-rock is that it's kind of like it's classical music. But it's classical music made with rock instruments rather than classical instruments. That's kind of like the thing of it. And what are you laughing at?
The descriptions of each just get amazing when you start loving it. The word fuck keeps coming out. It's like, fuck, man, this fucking album, fuck, fuck. And yes, this other album is pretty good. And then fuck, man, fuck, fuck, fuck. And then this other one. And
yeah. But, The Fall of Math is quite glitchy, but it's still really quite beautiful a lot of the time. One Time for All Time is their second album, is, quite similar to The Fall of Math in sound, but a little less glitchy and a little less lo-fi and more on the beautiful end, I guess. But, like, fucking amazing. One of my favorite songs of all time is on that album, too. The Destruction of Small Ideas, all of a sudden, like, they have these really insane changes between each album.
Yeah.
Destruction of Small Ideas is, like, this really, really warm, really kind of serene, beautiful album.
Yeah.
With, like... really, it's their first two albums are almost kind of industrial and really cold, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With the exceptions of a few songs, where this album is like really, really, like, I want to say hearty, but I don't, that doesn't, like,
hearty.
Not hearty in like that kind of way, but hearty in like, it's just like, I don't know, like emotional, I guess, but I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's insane. It's beautiful. It's like the most beautiful thing ever. And one, again, probably in my top three favorite songs of all time is on there. This song called Lioness, which just like, it's the most beautiful thing you'll ever hear. It's insane. I didn't even know how they made those sounds, but you're just like, what the fuck? All right.
Lioness.
Spelt Lyonesse. How pretty is that? Yeah, like you. We Were Exploding Anyway is their next album. It's a fucking techno album out of nowhere, right? It's still post-rock. They still use their guitars and their drums and their bass, but there's so much synth and so much techno going on. It's, like, so out of nowhere and random and really good. It's not unusual if you'd listen to their EPs and stuff, because there's a lot of electronic stuff on there. But this song, it's just a dance album, right?
Okay.
I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying that in a really good way. But it's just, it takes some getting used to if you've listened to the other stuff first, because it's so out of nowhere. One thing I want to say about them is, I've shown post-rock to so many people, and they've been like, this isn't for me, and I've been like, that's completely fair enough, right?
It's a genre
It's a genre that you really, it's, a lot of people just don't like it, and like, whatever. I've shown 65 Days of Static to so many people, and not a single person I've shown it to has not liked it. Like, they're just universally considered amazing by everybody. And they said in like an interview once that all they've ever wanted to do is create pop music, and like what they mean by that is that their music isn't pop and it's not like simple, but it's really accessible. Like all artists always kind of like try to find that fine line between accessibility and like simplicity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have found the perfect like formula for it. Their music is incredibly complex and incredibly deep and really mind-blowing, and I've listened to their albums hundreds of times, and even now I find new things in them every time I listen to them.
Mm.
But it's accessible. You can listen to it and like understand it, and it's you can enjoy it the first time around, even if you listen to really basic music. My sister, who listens to like One Direction, Taylor Swift and that kind of stuff, she likes 65 Days of Static, right? William, which you podcast listeners don't know, is the most ignorant, narrow-minded person ever, and like if you show him anything that isn't, like, K-pop, he's like, that's hipster shit. You know what I mean? He hates anything that's independent or, like, not in, like, the public eye, like, by everyone, because he finds it hipstery. But I showed him 65 Days of Static, he liked it.
Wait, isn't the description of hipster that it's independent or something?
Yeah, no, he dislikes all of that, is what I mean. Sorry, maybe I said something wrong.
He said, like, about popular stuff.
Yeah, no, he likes popular stuff, right?
Oh, okay.
He dislikes anything that's not popular, right? He likes 65 Days of Static. Every single person I've ever shown them to has liked them, right?
Yeah.
That's like something really special that no other band can have, right? Like, they're amazing. Anyway, I'm going to like speed on through the rest of it now. Pop, I don't listen to a lot of pop because pop sucks. But there's a few bands that I kind of consider pop. Yonzi, who's the singer from Sigur Rós, which I mentioned before, released a solo album. And it's effectively the same as the last couple of Sigur Rós albums, barring the new one, which was really ambient. Like, the last two before the newest one were quite upbeat and poppy, I guess. They're really good. And this is kind of like an extension of those two albums, but more poppy. And it kind of gets a bit cheesy sometimes because it's so poppy, but it's quite good. I saw him live, and he's amazing live, by the way. Q is this band from... these two girls from Sydney who do, like, the most creative pop I've ever heard in my life. Like, in interviews and stuff, they say that one of their biggest inspirations is the Akira soundtrack. Like, how fucking cool is that, right? They're so, like, you listen to their music and you're like, yes, this is pop. But it's, like, the most innovative pop I've ever heard in my life. And, like, they have songs that are influenced by, like, Arabic music, and they have other songs that are influenced by, like, I don't even know what. And they're just amazing, and they're beautiful. And they have, I think, of all the bands I've ever heard, they use their voice as an instrument to the greatest effect of any band ever. Like, they use their voices as such a, like, an amazing, beautiful instrument. It's like, you know when a violin does, like, something, like, violins often do this to me, where, like, you just kind of, like, stop and, like, you're just in awe at how beautiful violins are a lot of the time. I don't know. Violins are just so good at being good. You know what I mean? And, like, if you have, like, a bunch of violins doing some kind of amazing, like, sweeping kind of sound, and it just kind of, like, takes your breath away.
Yeah.
They do that, but with their voices. And it's, like, so amazing. Saliu x Saliu is this J-pop artist who does, like, indie pop.
Oh, you showed me that.
Japanese indie pop.
I think so.
She has released, like, 5 albums, and they're all horrible, okay? They suck. Don't listen to anything by her except 2 songs. She has this one song that's, like, an a cappella song, and it's, like, really cool. And you're like, wow, this is good. And then she has this one song that fucking out of nowhere, right? All her music is generic, shitty, J indie pop. Out of nowhere, in one of her albums, I can't remember which one, it's in the same album as the a cappella one, she has, like, this really beautiful dark jazz song. And it just, like... You listen to it and you're like, this is fucking a masterpiece. And it's just in the midst of all these really shitty generic pop songs.
How did you discover these songs?
Cornelius.
Yeah, there we go.
He's married to her, I think. Or they're like related.
Every now and then he's like, you know, you should.
She's part of this pop genre called Shibuya K, which is like, I don't know why it's called that. I guess it originated in Shibuya. And a lot of Shibuya K sucks balls. But this next artist has the best Shibuya K ever, and he's called Cornelius. And he's like this really amazing electronica artist who, in his earlier stuff, is really heavily inspired by funk, and it really shows. And he does this, and in his later albums, which I think his better albums, He does, except for his last album. His last album was so-so.
I like the Disney but, the one that starts with the Disney...
Yeah, I know that one. That one's good.
I love that album.
I think it's called Point. I think it's his best album, in that it's completely electronic, but it makes electronic music sound really natural. I think of all electronic music I've ever heard in my life, it is the most natural sounding of all of them. Like, it sounds like... I can't explain it, but it's so good. And he's a fucking master.
It sounds like he caught sounds and then actually just...
Yeah, well, a lot of it is sampling, but he just, like, does it... I don't know, just... It's
it
amazing.
It flows nicely.
Yeah, he's so good at that. Ambient drone-type stuff. Field Rotation is this really, really insane, like, ambient band from Germany. Again, why is Germany so good? And they just blow my mind. Like, they're just... so, so beautiful, and you should go listen to them. They're really, really dark and like, kind of scary, but, like, they're really good. Yonzi and Alex, this is the guy from Sigur Rós again, he released an album with his partner, and it's, like, this really, really, really beautiful ambient drone album that's, like, nothing like the rest of his music, and it's really, really, really good. Alluvium is this sort of post-rocky sometimes, but mainly just really, really amazing ambient band. They kind of get coupled, like, put together with a lot of post-rock for some reason. I don't know. They're just, like, part of the scene, I guess. But they have some of the best, like, straight-up ambient stuff ever. Like, really kind of rocky in the sense that it uses, like, rock instruments, but it's not rock at all. Hip-hop. I'm going to be really quick. Hip-hop is one of my favorite genres, especially at the moment, but I'm going to be really fast about it. Diplo, one of the coolest... this is all instrumental stuff, by the way, unless I say otherwise. Diplo is, like, one of these... He's, like, really, really, really complex and, like, really, really good at using samples in, like, really interesting ways and stuff. He's awesome. Dimlight is, like, the most ridiculously complicated hip-hop I've ever heard in my life, except for maybe Flying Lotus, but I'll go to that later. Dimlight blows your mind. It's, like, so, so complicated and so insane and, like, beautiful. DJ Shadow, probably know him. His first album. At the time, it was the only album ever released that was made entirely from samples. I think since then there have been a few more. But that his first album is just a fucking masterpiece. His other albums are not as good. Dr. LaFleur is this guy on... He's, like, got, like, 20 subscribers on YouTube. Like, he's really, really, like... He's just, like, a guy, and he just releases shit. But he's fucking amazing. He's so good. He's just so, so, so amazingly good. And he's just, like, beautiful. Flying Lotus, really, really, like, psychedelic hip-hop, like, really fucked up experimental shit that's just, like, blows your mind. It's, like, acid-tripping hip-hop. It's just so good, and he's just amazing. And he's, like, probably the most creative of all hip-hop artists I've ever heard. Hermitude is these guys from Sydney who recently became really famous because they released a techno album. I'm not saying the techno album is bad, but it's just not very hip-hop-y a lot of the time. There's still plenty of really good hip-hop songs on there, but there are some songs that are just straight-up techno. Kind of probably not going to have any hip-hop at all in their next album, which I'm kind of sad about. Their earlier stuff is really, really good, more traditional hip-hop. Jay Dilla is this guy who does, like, really, really crazy, like, one-minute songs that are just, like... I guess his idea is that, like, he writes a piece of music, right? Like, think of most songs are just, like, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus, end, or whatever, right?
Mm.
Effectively, they have two sections of music that they just repeat a few times, right? They're just, like, we wrote a chorus and we wrote a verse, and then we just put them together a bunch of times. That's what a lot of bands just do, right?
Mm.
Jay Dilla's idea is that I can just write a chorus and write a verse and play them both once, and then my song's over. I don't need to repeat it, right? People can just listen to the song again if they like it so much, right?
Mm.
A kind of an interesting way to think, but, like, he just writes something, and it's, like, 40 seconds long or a minute and a half long, and then he's done with it. That's it. He's like, all right, I'm finished. I'm moving on. I'm never going to repeat anything in any song I do, which I think is actually kind of interesting. Really cool. Nightmares on Wax is, I think...
Oh, going to a concert with him would be amazing. He just, like, plays a 5 seconds.
Done.
Yeah, done.
Nightmares on Wax is, I think they're from Sydney. I'm not sure, though. They do, like, kind of, like, chilly, almost dubby type of hip-hop sometimes. Really cool. RJD2, one of the coolest hip-hop artists out there, I think. Listen to, I think it's called Dead Ringer, or maybe that's what the album's called. I never know. but it's a cool song. It's a really good song. Russian Circles. Okay, for some reason, one of my post-rock bands is in my hip-hop section. Russian Circles. I'm just going to go back to post-rock for a second because for some reason they're here. Really good post-metal band. Just whatever.
Maybe they want to be like... They want to be...
Toki Monster is this chick from Japan who occasionally does really, really good stuff and a lot of the time does really, really not that good stuff. But I'll put links up to the good stuff. Trip-hop. I'll go fast. Burial and Volaflex are these two artists that sound almost identical and I'm not sure why. But I guess Volaflex just copied Burial and hoped no one would notice because Burial didn't have very many fans, but then Burial got pretty big and, like, important, and now Volaflex is like, oh, this is awkward. But they're both really good. They're kind of, like, very echoey kind of sounds, and they use a lot of samples that they put either, like, they make them either really high-pitched or really deep in, like, the, you know how back before we knew how to fast-forward properly... You'd, like, fast-forward something and it would go high-pitched, okay. Right? They do that, but they don't actually make things fast, I guess. They just have that kind of sound, of the high-pitched sound. Really, really interesting stuff. Lamb is this pretty generic trip-hop band that sometimes does pretty boring songs, but has a few really good songs. Portishead, you probably know Portishead. Their first two albums are fucking amazing. Third album is okay. Whatever. Massive Attack. Everyone knows Massive Attack. They're awesome. They also did the... Danny the Dog soundtrack, which is really good. Quite Trent Reznor-y, actually. Blue Daisy is this, like, random, another, like, just random person on the internet who just, like, releases songs, who does stuff that's kind of like what Massive Attack was like before they were, like, big. Like, they were, like, really... I don't know. Like, they're not their first album, but Hundredth Window is one of their albums, and it's, like, very kind of slow and, like, not ambient, but it has a lot of, like, kind of sounds... And, like, build-up and stuff.
Mm.
And Blue Daisy does a lot of that. And then it's also got, like, a lot of kind of techno influence and stuff. Really, really, really creative trip-hop, but, like, really unusual. But, like, not unusual in that it's, like, weird, but just unusual in that it's unusual for trip-hop. Mm. Moby, you probably know Moby, and if you don't know Moby, then what's wrong with you? Jazz and funk, I'm going to be quick again. Bad, bad, not good. One of the coolest bands ever. They do like really heavy jazz, like heavy as in like heavy, like it's not like ding 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 jazz. It's like jazz, right? But they do covers of hip hop songs, but instrumental, of course. Probably the most well known song that they've covered is "Flashing Lights" by Kanye West, and it's fucking insane. It's so cool. I don't like Kanye West, but like that cover. Blows my mind. It's so good. The Cat Empire, most people know them. Their first album was, like, really, really good, like, I don't know, like, rock, funk, jazz, dub, reggae. It's just, like, all that kind of stuff put together in, like, this really fantastic creative album. They're, like...
Well, they just sound like a bunch of dudes in a circle, and they're just all playing
yeah,
whatever.
They're just fucking jamming along. Like, they're so good. Their lyrics are atrocious. Never listen to their lyrics because they make you feel uncomfortable.
I love them.
They're so bad. They try to rhyme, but they just don't know how to write a line, so they never rhyme properly. And all their lyrics are just like, so I was walking along one day, and then there was this guy, and we went to a party together, and we had a good time, and yeah, I love life because I like to party. Like, that's their lyrics. I'm not even joking. It's so shit.
And weapons are our instruments.
Yeah, there are a few songs where they have, like, a line or two where you're like, oh, that's kind of neat, and then they just go back into bad shit again. Even that song, they've got a line where it's just like, oh, and I love my friends so much, and I'm so happy, and
yeah. Well, just kind of like, yeah, but...
It's like, their lyrics are appalling. They're so gross.
Wait, did you talk about Soul?
Soul? No.
Soul Williams?
Oh, shit, did I not type in Soul?
You did not type in Soul.
Because I was so busy with the hip-hop stuff that I only did,
Okay, we'll talk about it after.
I'll do that at the end because it's special. Cat Empire, the later you go on into their discography, the less awesome they get. They kind of become more of like an indie rock band.
Yeah.
But their first album just fucking amazes me as long as I don't listen to what they're saying.
All right, the one I can call cred for.
The Cinematic Orchestra, Henry's band.
oh, my band.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, man, I put this band together.
they have a lot of guests on a lot of their songs that do vocals for them, which I think is kind of cool when you have like... Massive Attack does that too, where they have a lot of different vocals. I think that's kind of nice. It kind of makes things fresh. They're just really, really good, like, modern jazz, I guess. Like, really, like, current 21st century jazz. Like, fucking amazingly beautiful, though. Except for that one song that everyone knows, because that song sucks. That song is a pop song that just happens to be using jazz instruments. I don't like that song.
I know you don't like that,
home. The Flashbulb is this guy who does, like, electronica jazz, and it's all done electronically. Like, he can play instruments fucking amazingly, but all his stuff is, like, Well, it's not... It's like he records, like, instruments, but it's all electronic. I don't know. You'll know what I mean if you listen to it. He does everything on his own. He's one guy. And he does, like, the most insane shit. Juju Space Jazz is this band from Sydney who I don't think they exist anymore. They released, like, one album in the 90s and just disappeared. But they do, like, this really, really cool, like, psychedelic, like, trippy drone jazz.
Okay.
And it's fucking awesome. It's so good.
Mm.
Kilimanjaro Dark Jazz Ensemble is...
I love that name.
The most beautiful dark jazz I've ever heard in my life. They are...
Well, it has to be. It's in their name.
They tell you what they are. They're dark jazz. And they are dark jazz.
Oh, by the way, like, folks, if you don't know...
If you can hear the plastic bangs, that's Vincent and Nakaya playing Catch the Ball with
Mr. Happy. As long as they
don't
drop it and it doesn't make a jazz.
Yeah, no,
band.
Keep going. It's all good. Kilimanjaro, like that.
For example.
The Kilimanjaro Dark Jazz Ensemble is the most beautiful dark jazz ever. Really quite droney at times, quite ambient.
Is the next band Mocha?
Mountain Mocha Kilimanjaro. Another, just happens to be another band with Kilimanjaro in their name. It's kind of weird. They're like, again, Japanese funk. I don't know what is with Japan and funk, but they do the best funk. It's really, really... like standard traditional funk, but it's like the best you've ever heard. So good.
Saxophone and everything.
Reggae and dub. Fat Freddy's Drop is a pretty popular like dub band that I think are really fantastic. Don't see them live though because they suck. Electric Empire is this band from Sydney that do like.
Good work, guys.
They do like funk, kind of like funk soul dub kind of stuff.
So I'm just gonna go downstairs.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have downstairs at your house. You have one soul. But yeah, they do like this kind of funk soul type stuff that's like... When you listen to it on like their album, it's not that special, but they are amazing live. I saw them live as a supporting act for Fat Freddy's Drop, and they were by far... They were like 10 times better than Fat Freddy's Drop were.
That's something I want to hear one time.
Yeah. They were so good. Linton Kwesi Johnson is like this guy who does like spoken word poetry and then just puts like dub over the top of it.
Yeah.
From England. He's really good. Seed is this German.
No,
it's Seed.
It's three C's.
Yeah, I know it is.
Seed.
It's you just say Seed, right? Okay. They're like this reggae dub band from Germany, again, Germany. And they're really, really good. Fela Kuti, I just want to mention really quick, is like this awesome Afrobeat guy.
Fela Antikulapo.
Antikulapo. he's like the king of Afrobeat, and he's really cool. You should listen to him. Afrobeat is like, it's like jazz and all that kind of stuff, but like the African version.
There's only one example, but apparently it's amazing.
Well, I don't listen to any others, because I don't care, because he's the best. Latin stuff, Buena Vista Social Club, you probably know that, and if you don't, then you've obviously never seen a movie before.
Give an example of a movie.
The Buena Vista Social Club. It's just this, like, they're, like, the best Cuban band, like, ever.
Okay.
Manu Chao is this guy from Switzerland, fuck yeah, home country, who does, like, really, really awesome, like, Latin shit, and he's really good. That's all I'm gonna do.
Saul.
And then quickly, yeah, Saul Williams.
Which Dylan forgot to put down for some reason.
I find that really weird.
That's like your third favorite thing.
Yeah. Okay, the only hip-hop artist I listen to that actually raps is Saul Williams. And he is, I think, in terms of, like, of all the poets that are currently alive, he is the best one, in my eyes. He is, like, of all the poets, like, ever, he is one of the best, I think. He's just so amazing. He writes the best poetry I've ever heard. No, seriously, he's fucking... Oh my god. Fuck Homer, alright? Saul Williams is... He's like, so...
There's a guy called Larry in New York. He's playing...
You listen to his lyrics in his music, and you literally, like, the universe just, like, evolves as you listen to them. Like, he's just, like... It's like... I've never gotten high in my life before, but I'd imagine it's something like listening to Soul Blinks.
Okay, no more ball throwing.
Yeah.
Continue.
He's just, like, so amazing. Some of his songs, like, musically speaking, aren't that special, because he kind of does, like, all forms of hip-hop. And for the first two albums that he did all the music himself, and he's not that musically talented. He's more of a writer than he is a musician.
Well, I do like that parody you showed me, where he does a whole parody.
Oh, like modern. The parody of gangster rap?
Yeah.
Yeah, that song's awesome. Then in his third album, Trent Reznor, who I was talking about before, the awesome, amazing dude, produced the music for his third album. So the music gets really, really good, right?
Yeah.
It's still hip-hop, but it's, like, really, really well produced, right?
And he's writing the lyrics.
And he's still writing all the words and shit. Like, and he's just so good. He's done a movie. He did a movie called Slam, which is about, like, slam poetry and shit, and he's the main character in it. He's written books. He's written, like... He's done everything, right? And he's just fucking, like, one of my favorite people in the world. And he's so amazing. And he's the best. I think that does it for me.
Alright.
That was the highlights of my musical taste. I hope you liked it. It was only, like, 5 years long.
Vincent was actually dying for a couple seconds there.
Yeah, you looked like you were pretty dead.
Yeah. Your face was, like... Just melting, like, off, yeah.
Can't do sight gags on.
But, yeah, we're going to have a break, and we're actually going to have a break, like, instead of just what we usually do, which is just press pause and then press play again.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back with Lakaya's music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Round it off.
5 seconds. Yeah, I like music. Blah, 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 blah. Done.
I like the sound of music, and I'm finished now.
That's my entire musical taste.
Well, we'll find out in a bit.
See you soon.
Rude.
That was very rude.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
That's a
terrible entrance.
Yeah?
Talk.
I'll actually give you an interview. Why do you like music?
Okay. This is going to be incredibly short.
I spent
short.
A whole episode talking about emotions.
That's wonderful. Good for you, Henry.
So
my turn. Okay. Okay, this is going to be incredibly short. Basically, I like music because I like to create imaginary soundtracks to my life. That is literally it. That's why I'm into show tunes and pop music and Disney soundtracks. I don't really listen to artists as much as I follow the composer more, I guess. Because that's how it is with show tunes. You don't really find the song. You can have one song. It can be done by like 20 different people.
Remakes are just a thing in like musical. Stuff.
It's not a remake, it's just different productions of it. Like, they send it all over the world, and you have so many different versions of it, and it's really fun to find the version that you like best, because everybody sings it in a different way, and it's nice to see what kind of emotions people bring to certain things.
Crazy Bollywood version.
And now we're listening to Dylan, if you guys aren't hearing it, Dylan...
Henry, stop
call.
Pointing out outside interference.
Yeah, they don't
even
know
it. It probably doesn't even show up.
I got most of my taste in music from my mother because she made me listen to nothing but 80s and 90s stuff. I sat in the car and she taught me everything that happened in the 80s, basically. So, well,
were you just like born out of the womb, Vincent, and then it was like,
no,
I
was
am
born in
mind.
A forest and just had my own individuality. I don't take shit from any
like,
of my
like
parents.
Hey, I had one parent. She raised me well on the soundtracks of the 80s.
I had one parent. She tried to turn me into a socialist. Ha! Egg on her face.
What the hell?
Well, listen, Lakaya's mother actually raised us. Get on it, Lakaya.
So I'm
don't even deny.
Very dedicated to my 80s sounding music. I don't like the stuff that Dylan listens to.
I like the stuff Dylan listens to.
Dylan listed, I don't like.
In the few seconds when Dylan's away, say something that he's not going to be able to disagree with. Oh, now he's back.
I heard it. It's okay.
I disagree.
A lot of people disagree with Dylan's music.
I completely agree with his taste in music, but whatever.
Vincent's taste in music as well. Some of Henry's, I guess. But then again, my taste in music is really douchey and such a white...
You mean 303? Do you and 303 on your iPad?
I have a lot of mainstream pop on my iPod because I am not ashamed to admit that I like mainstream pop.
Yeah.
Do you listen to the Biebs?
What?
The Biebs.
Justin
Biebs.
Bieber?
Yeah.
No.
You don't?
No, I don't. But I like one of his new songs.
Yes! That's what I wanted!
No, look, okay, I have this weird mantra with my music. It's not the artist.
No, I love it that you like Justin Bieber, right?
I don't like Justin Bieber. I like one of his
songs. He's a horrible human being, but his music
is How is
like
he a horrible human being? He's done nothing.
He's
look at his hair.
Yeah, but that doesn't make him a
That's
horrible
a crime
human
against humanity.
Have you looked at him? He's like basically a war criminal.
Who gives a fuck?
about war criminals? I think everyone.
I wasn't saying
I
about
think the conventions
criminals.
Of human rights
up,
care about it.
You can't just bring up something bad and say, well. What you gonna do, Henry? Do you hate war criminals? Do you like war criminals or something?
I mean, let the client
talk. Yeah, go.
I forgot what I'm talking about now.
Pop music.
Oh, yeah. I don't like Justin Bieber, okay? I like one of his songs, and it's that one with the film clip where he's dating that girl, and that girl's father tries to kill him or something.
Because we all watched
what?
Justin
I don't
Bieber's.
Know.
Okay, shh.
I saw it in the porno shop, and it was just playing, and I was like, hey, this isn't that bad. But, yeah, I like songs by artists that old. Like, I like some Jonas Brothers songs too. I hate to admit that, but I do. It's not the artist I like. It's their music because people can have good songs and still be completely douchey artists.
I completely agree.
Yeah,
thank you.
I really agree with that.
Like
you can have someone who has terrible albums and they have like one good song in there.
Yeah.
And it's just a really good song. And you shouldn't judge to hate that song because you hate what the artist does.
Honestly, more often than not, it's usually people with one good thing and then it's bad. I mean, I'm generalizing here, but that usually seems to be the case where someone has a good period and then it just all goes shit. Or what?
And then all of their fans say they sold out to mainstream.
No, they just weren't perfect all of the time. That's all.
Yeah, but no, that's their fans' excuse for them, like, not remaining.
Well, yeah, I mean, where they got their influence from, they couldn't either A, find their original influence to make a good song, or B, they couldn't find something new to be just as good, or, you know, some different level of good. Anyway, I'm kidding.
I didn't know how to go on from that.
You like musicals, though? Like musicals a lot.
I do like musicals.
Which I quite appreciate, because I like musicals, but I
It's very
don't.
Difficult to say, well, so what kind of music do you listen to? And your answer is, I listen to show tunes in 80s.
Just say Disney, and then
it's like, show tunes and glam rock. That's what's on my iPod, basically, more
glam
or less.
Rock.
But it's not even the good glam rock.
Well, what is your, like, good, you know, for you, good glam rock?
David Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
Nicole and Tenez.
But, my iPod has an unhealthy amount of Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Okay.
Because he's fabulous and
I know the name, but I'm just blanking.
Okay, Cats.
Oh,
Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. They're
so
fantastic.
Good.
Thank you.
It's brilliant.
I have a lot of Roger and Hammerstein. And
you may need to give examples because not everyone.
People should know these names because they created your childhood.
Sorry, I was born in 93.
I know.
Roger and Hammerstein is the Sound of Music guy.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying that.
It's like, yeah, we've seen these movies. We don't know the fucking credits off by heart.
Oh, come on, man.
Well, why not?
Because we have lives to live.
I know the names. I don't relate. I just hear
it. I like a lot of these 60s, 50s. Musicals because they have a very different sound.
They have an air about them which I like.
I like them because they tell. I like the people who tell
like
stories
Mary
in their music.
King and I, like what type like a musical?
I can talk by myself.
Oh, damn!
She's got the chair now. She's got feisty.
I was always feisty.
She has a punch.
Mary Poppins. Sorry.
Like, I was just trying to wonder, like, you say you like the 60s era. I want, for me at least, being selfish, I want to know, was it, are we talking, like, Mary Poppins type musicals, or are we talking
all of them?
King Knight?
All of them.
But is it in that style?
Of course it's in that style, because that's the style of the 60s.
Okay, just checking.
Jesus. Now I forgot what I was saying. Keep distracting me, damn it. I'm just winging this in case you haven't realized I'm the only person who didn't do the homework.
And me.
Well,
you know what, friends,
oh,
you showed up.
By the way, I haven't actually been introduced because I came in while we had the microphone on.
Patrick.
Hi.
It's Patrick.
Patrick's here.
Hey, Patrick.
You'll see in the heading, it'll be special guest Patrick.
Yay. I'm
every
guest.
Episode. He just comes in randomly.
Okay, I suppose I'll
one
just...
One day just forget and then I'll be a...
Patrick.
Name some of my favorite musicals then. I like Rent. That's a Jonathan Larson thing. It's this 90s musical about basically everybody, basically more or less half the people in the musical have AIDS. And it's just them trying to make their way through life with their drug addictions and their bi-curiousness and their having AIDS and whatnot. And it's really good. And it's a rock opera, kind of. Yeah, it's what I like about show tunes is they don't actually stick to one specific genre. You can have a genre that matches every character in the entire soundtrack, which is really, I think it helps tell the story better, and I like music that tells a story because I need my lyrics in a song to mean something. And that's why I like Rent, because it's really happy and absolutely ridiculous, but at the end of the whole thing, it actually has some ridiculous moral in it. I like Wicked, obviously, because it's fabulous. The Who. I like The Who, and they have a
music. Hey, an actual band.
But they
whoa.
Have a... Yeah, The Who. I love The Who. Specifically their album Tommy. Because
it's the best.
Yes,
that
it
is. So good. I love Pinball Wizard. It's the best.
I am so tempted to go pachata anyways, because you did that during my one.
For any of you who don't know who The Who are, go drown yourselves because
who
they're
the Who.
They are classic rock icons, and Tommy is probably the greatest story album ever.
Yeah,
it's
a rock
one.
It was from a rock
no,
opera.
No, but I don't need to. No, they wrote it and then they turned it into a rock opera. Yeah, it's great.
Not even pointing out.
What?
No. It's just doing Dylan was going over his like greatest. Vocals of all time, he would emphasize at the end.
He's a good boy.
Anyway, yeah, continue.
I don't really have anything to say. I like
Queen. You like
Queen? Queen's fabulous.
I love Queen.
I actually agree with you on something. Queen's good.
Queen is great.
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yeah.
All the time.
No.
What's the bad?
No, like,
I don't
you can't play Queen at a funeral.
You don't say
Bohemian
Rhapsody.
My general
no,
consensus
not.
Is anything it's before 1995 is great.
Yeah.
It's
not a bad thing.
I hate any music made from 1995 to 2005 with limited exceptions.
Like anything from Disney.
I told you, limited exceptions.
Yeah.
Besides, not a lot
it's
of
just Disney, that's the exception.
Not a lot of Disney movies
no,
came out during that time.
Oh, okay.
But go on.
What?
No, we just keep it dropping. So no.
We're winning nothing.
Well, I don't know what I'm saying, so...
Okay, so what about 1995 to 2005?
They just... Oh, it's that decade when nobody had any fucking clue what they were doing. Did you see the way people dressed? It was
did you
hard.
See the way they dressed in the fucking 80s?
It was fantastic!
It was cute!
It was
I
great!
I still dress in the 80s.
We needed to recover from that fucking travesty.
No, the 80s was wonderful.
It took a while.
I will say I've heard a good argument today. Look, as much as we had the 80s, it was that, like... culturally at least openly you know in everyone after that everyone just sort of just wore black and
I'm sure
anyone
can hear you by the way
okay back it's sort of this there's this idea that the 80s everyone sort of you know even in popular stuff they'd be wearing crazy colors and stuff and then in the 90s it sort of died down and everyone sort of got into grunge
so
stuff.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with getting into grunge, just kind of...
Everybody got off their acid trips and decided life was really depressing and started listening to
yeah, everybody mind. Needed to get a job and then shit got difficult.
You might not be able to see this on the basis that this is a audio recording, but
Patrick,
my pants are literally an acid
Patrick,
tip.
Patrick, this is not about you.
What?
Oh, just pull out your six pack and get it done.
It's not even your
right
segment.
You know, in all honesty, I don't think I can.
Welcome
right?
to the segment. What Patrick's wearing.
Just a regular segment now?
No.
Yeah.
It'll be like a
fashion
video.
Podcast now.
I want that.
Start your own podcast.
Welcome to Patrick's fashion podcast.
No, shut up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, I don't really like anything from right now that I can remember.
What about that Justin Bieber song?
Yeah, Justin Bieber song. It's pretty good. I forget what it's called, but it's kind of dark, and it's still pop, but it's got a, like edge to it, which I like, I guess.
It's got, like, cathedral bells or something.
No, it's just,
no, there's
like
bells,
an
organ.
No, there's nothing in the song that makes it dark. It's just the tone of the song.
But imagine a square bell.
I've seen square bells. It's not that weird.
Yeah, there's some edge to that.
Cowbells are
kind of
square.
Oh, I see what you did there. Leave the fly alone. You're talking.
I was. And then people talked, and so it was, like, barely quiet. The only artist I can actually remember following at any point in time, we're all going to go, Lakaya is ridiculous, is Pink.
Oh. No, I can respect that.
Pink was the first artist I liked as a kid. You know how when you discover children?
When you discover music as children?
Discover children.
And you're like, oh, this is
Hello,
cool, I have
child.
My own taste, they didn't somebody else.
No, I didn't have the moment where I discovered music as a child. I wasn't children, I was a single child, unlike you, multiple people.
Remember Putty Rock? Like, when Putty Rock came out, and it was just, you know, so much fun.
Wasn't that, like, 2 years ago?
No, that was, like, a decade ago.
That was two years ago.
No, not Putty Rock by LMFAO. Like, Pink had some song where it was like, oh, no, I'm coming out, that's it.
No, that was Diana Ross.
No. Coming out. I'm not.
Get the party started. I'm coming out is a song by Diana Ross.
Okay, so the third one.
Diana Ross is fabulous. I don't care what anybody says. She's great, especially when she was with the Supremes back in the 60s. And they did this awesome, Diana Ross and the Supremes did this awesome cover of Funny Girl, the Barbra Streisand play. They covered a lot of the songs in the musical, and it's incredible. And if anybody's into anything that sounds like that, you should go check it out. They took the songs and made them really jazzy in Motown, and it's fabulous.
Motown.
But, yeah. And also, in case you haven't realized by now, I like Barbra Streisand. And she's, I think...
The song is amazing.
Not the song. Fuck the song. The song is horrid.
Exactly.
Barbra Streisand, the person. The self-righteous Jewish girl who is fabulous.
Barbra Streisand. Dude.
That's a horrible
song.
It's
so shit.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Anyway.
But this is really all I can think of, because I don't really have any favorites, because it changes depending on my mood or what I'm doing.
You still have favorites if you have...
Mood
songs. Huh? You can still have
favorites. I have mood songs, but it's like, I like to find songs that fit whatever it is I'm going through at the moment.
Like moods?
No, like events in my life.
Oh, so like
I said, I like to soundtrack my life.
Ankles? That's alright.
So, I like to find songs that match it, and when I do, it's like, fucking spiritual connection with this song. I'm gonna just blast it on repeat until I can find another musical montage song. Last time I remember that happening was with that, Frey song, Cable Car, Over My Head.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
A lot of people did that, actually.
I love that song. I was like, oh my god, this song describes my life right now. This is back when I was doing the HC and everything was really angsty.
Actually, have a funny story. One of my friends was a drummer and he wanted us to be in a band. So every now and then he'd say, come here, play guitar and play the Frey. And he'd start playing drums. I'm like, I'm not playing the Frey.
And that concludes Henry's segment.
Yeah, well, I really can't think of anything else to say.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Atlantic City. All she gets in life is pity and a pat. And he knows what deviation is, a crime against the nation. Throw her into jail or maybe drown the cat. She must shine in every detail like a ring you buy in retail, with a mounting that can knock the public flat.
Alright, so, hey.
Let's go to the beach. Beach.
Alright. Nick Minaj, yeah. Guys, how do you feel about that Nick Minaj?
Oh, yeah. Shut up, this is my section.
Nick Minaj is a brother, man.
So, I'm supposed to be talking about the music that I like and not myself. I've been told.
Challenge.
It's really difficult, but I'm gonna give it a try. I really...
Wait, stop, halt. Before you start what you like... Tell us why you like music.
Why I like music? Oh, God.
Why do you music?
It can't be as pathetic as my reason.
I like...
I basically like creating rocky moments for myself.
Akira has bought the rights to pathetic moments. You can't do it, Patrick.
When my parents were really big on music, my dad's really good at music, and I had to do music from a young age. But now it's just about... being able to dance to something. I really like dancing.
Dance.
Because, like, I'm the sort of person who will put on swing music early in the morning in order to get up, and I'll just be dancing in my room as I get dressed like a weirdo. And it's really cool. You should all see it. I'll send myself a video of that because you don't want to see that.
Go for it.
Yeah, alright.
We
have
a YouTube page.
As I just said, I really like swing music, because you can dance to it. What?
I like swing.
Yeah,
swing's good.
What else do I like? I like classical music, because I grew up playing it a lot, and I didn't like certain things about it, but when I got out of it, I realized I really loved listening to it. And it was a big part of, you know, my life. So, yeah, that's really cool. 1812 Symphony is really great. The cannons. Oh, I love that. There's heaps and heaps of really good classical music. I don't want to go into that now, because that'll take ages.
Don't you go for strings?
Dude, they each spoke, like, an hour. So
did they?
Go ahead.
Oh, sweet.
So, we don't want to do that again.
So, have you heard of a C major chord?
Oh,
God. No,
It's like an eargasm.
Not really. You want B-flat major for that.
Oh, that's a good chord.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I'm going to be saying a lot. I'm sorry. Make a music video out of me going
It's really hard to find things to talk about that aren't your pants, isn't it?
Yeah, I just want to say something. Guys, my pants are really cool. All right. Right, now it's over. It's out of my system. Calm down.
What else is in the system?
I've got a lot of stuff in my system. It's not a very good system. Someone, like, throw me questions like you did to Lakaya.
Okay.
Like, Henry, you're playing on your phone right now?
No, everyone just gets an order and asks questions, so I'm just not doing
it. What are your top five genres?
Top five genres. Alright, so...
Wait, you didn't actually go over, like... So what was your
He's winging it, alright?
Alright.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
Top five genres.
Maybe it's nice, sweetie, don't worry.
I'm gonna start with swing. Then I will swang over to
they use the word irreverent for
indie rock.
Indie rock.
Yeah.
I like your taste in music.
Thanks.
Indie rock.
Yeah, Arctic Monkeys, they're really great.
Oh. Take that back.
Oh, what? I don't like you anymore.
What do you like of indie rock?
Huh?
What is your indie rock?
I don't know. I'm just not the idea.
It's Patrick's turn.
Okay, go Patrick.
Yeah, I guess... just old music, really. Like, not old, like...
Old medieval.
Cold water.
Lutes and lyres.
As in... The Beatles, a lot of people would consider them
old now.
Yeah.
It's not really our generation. But they were, like, incredible. They were the best.
Alright, what like, from the Beatles would you say you like?
What do I like from the Beatles? Heaps of stuff I like from the Beatles. But there's also heaps of stuff I don't like.
Okay, what's one?
Like, they had one terrible album.
What was it?
Which one was it? Was it the Magical Mystery Tour?
Oh, no, Sgt. Pepper's?
Sgt. Pepper's was... I didn't like that at all.
Really? Huh.
Magical Mystery Tour was also pretty weird. And also, Led Zeppelin, their Animal Farm one is atrocious. I love Led Zeppelin. I think... it's probably not Led Zeppelin. I like Led Zeppelin. Leave it at that.
Good work.
I don't know who I'm thinking of
as
now.
As ambiguous as possible.
Whoever they are, they're good, and they did some good songs.
Yep.
Throw me a question, guys.
What song?
You still haven't finished
your
top five genres. You got to two.
I got
and then you said I like
rock,
the Beatles.
And then old stuff.
Old stuff is not a genre.
I like
golden age music as a genre.
But yeah, golden age music. Then I'll go into classical. And then we'll end with... I don't mind rock.
That's not a genre.
Rock is a genre.
No.
Rock is totally...
You can't just say rock.
It used to be, back before we had to
Yeah, before we had like 50 fucking...
Before there were like a million, billion, bajillion bands that all fell into...
Post-sub electronic rock.
Classic rock?
Yeah.
Gay.
See,
no way.
Dylan likes his bajillion genres.
I like my music clean. I like to be able to identify the instruments used in it and not be like, what the fuck was that?
Mm. No, I think the epitome of good music is when the performer has to actually be on stage doing something, actually making music, instead of,
pushing
you know, what people do nowadays, pushing buttons or just lip syncing. Which is horrible.
Are you saying all electronic music is just press play?
No. There's a lot of stuff that I do respect, but there's some stuff that you can clearly see they're just standing up there.
Yeah, but that's because they're shitty mainstream DJs that are just like, oh, I didn't even make this music.
Yeah, those are the ones I'm saying.
Yeah,
hey.
That's horrible. That's just like deathly.
Yeah, shitty mainstream DJs.
Currently.
Oh, shit.
Except for the good mainstream DJs. They're good.
Oh, damn. Now you've made it
The
really
ones that don't press just play on their iPod.
Or, like,
they're
make
legit.
Something before and they're not going to actually come up with something on the spot.
Mm.
On the spot is okay if you're good at it.
Yeah, if you're really good at it.
Well,
it's not bad. I'm just saying, like, most people that can't do
improv rock.
I guess I like structure to my music so that it's not this whole repetitive back... track and then just vocals over the top. Like, there is Bittersweet Symphony does do that. And I like that song, so it's not always the case.
He took the symphony part from something else.
So? Like, every electronic artist does that.
Yeah.
It's called sampling, it's pretty normal.
It's Bittersweet Symphony.
Wait, are we talking about the song Bittersweet Symphony?
What else are we talking about?
Yeah, like, what are you guys? I know you're talking about a band for a second.
Symphony, that's right.
Yeah, that was the song.
Oh, I know that
song.
Good boy.
Are you guys talking about a band for a second? Because the way you were talking about it, I was like, this is one song. You know that, right?
Continue, Patrick.
Yeah, okay, so current music, just no. Piss off, please.
Thank you.
Except babes.
I hate
there are occasional one hits that are okay.
Like going to the big
but as a majority, it sucks.
Yeah. Actually, there is someone I do quite like in modern music, Robbie Williams.
Yeah,
he is not only a sex god.
Okay, let's not go too far.
You should meet my mother. You too.
Is she a sex god too?
No, she thinks that Robbie Williams is a sex god.
Nice. But he also did that Swing When You're Winning track.
Yeah.
CD album, which was really, really good. Has some great...
swing songs.
Yeah, and he performs them really well. He's a great performer, just in general. And from listening to his swing songs,
the songs that he did that were swing, I started listening to a lot of his other music, which isn't as much my kind of music, but a lot of it is a lot better than other stuff. And he's just a brilliant performer. Watch him on stage, and he is really into it, and he's kind of creepy, like, grabbing himself on stage. But he's still a sex god, so he's allowed to do that.
Questions?
No, I'm just looking at Dylan. He's, like, getting a cat right now.
Favorite musician?
Favorite musician?
Don't ask that. That's his favorite three movies.
I didn't ask who it was. I asked if he had one.
Do I have one?
Yeah.
No. No. Very much no.
Song?
Favorite song. Right now, this changes a lot. Like, there's a wide variety of favorite songs that I've had. But right now, it's Sing 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 by, I think, Eddie something. I don't remember. Just look up Sing 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 if you want to listen to it. And it is a great swing song, and you can dance to it.